Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 225. We're into our second week of Rebirth. Well, I guess technically third week of Rebirth. And things are looking very much up for DC. So,
way up.
We'll talk about that. I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Josh.
Dave.
Pat.
Adam.
Nice. Not Kip.
Kip Cap.
Yeah, okay.
Was your nickname Kip in college?
Yeah.
No. There's Kip McMahon.
Yeah, Kip. Yeah. No.
Were you wanting a Kit Kat?
No. I'm sorry.
What's your middle name?
Patrick.
Yeah. Colin Patrick. Kip. Kip. Kip.
It is now.
You just been outed. Your nickname is Kip. You went by KP for a while, and someone said Kip, and it stuck. And for all these years, you went by CP, and one day someone said Kip, and it stuck.
No.
And that one day is today.
And no, you're delusional, but that's okay.
And then for all these years, you never mentioned it until today, you slipped.
No.
And introduced yourself as Kip.
No. I made an error when I started. This was the actual the
you
second
You made an
start.
Error by starting?
I made it an error. Yeah.
Don't know, because you might as well leave it.
No.
Because it's already been there.
No, no. So, Rebirth for me as a store has been absolutely, as someone would say,
huge.
blew me away that normally I sold 15 copies of Green Arrow. And I ordered in 70, 50 of the main care copy and 20 of the variant, and I sold out last Thursday afternoon.
Wow.
Which, it's one of those, yee, how do you plan for that?
Wait, which book did you say that was?
Green Arrow.
Wow.
So I'm saying not wow. Batman. You know, Batman ordered 200 of, and I have some left.
And what were you selling of Green Arrow before?
15. And sold 70. Wow. So wow. Silly of me to sell out. What was I thinking?
Yeah,
But it is very interesting. Cardi Angelo of Earth 2 Comics out in Los Angeles posted on the Comics Pro Facebook page going, because there's also a comic store swap page where people, hey, I'm looking for,
yeah.
And all of a sudden it just blew up with people looking for Rebirth books. And he posted, he's like, what did you guys order? Because all I'm seeing is so many people looking for, you know, and not just a few, they're looking for 30, 50 copies. And it's like, what did you guys order? Did you not, you know, because this was announced as being, you know, supposed to be big and returnable. So you should have upped your orders and gone
yeah.
a little bit
yeah.
nuts, you know. Granted, not crazy. I mean, granted, we have to pay for it. So,
yeah.
But, you know, go a little bit heavy. And, you know, a lot of people are saying I ordered 10 or 20% above what they were selling and they didn't buy in. I feel I
you
bought in.
Over 400%.
And still sold out. So. Pre-orders. If there's something you want, let me know. I certainly try to have it on the shelf. I don't think I sold out of anything today.
Wacky Raceland, I think you're close.
There's some on the okay. front counter.
There's,
but,
yeah, there's none in the back okay. on the shelf, though.
But even that was like 35 copies of Wacky Raceland. Come on. You know, this is reality,
I
know. You know.
I thought I was the only one who remembered that.
Yeah. Well, and the book certainly isn't. Holy crap. But it's an R book. But I mean, at 35, that's like outselling Superman pre Last Days of Superman. So to wow. order that many of Wacky Raceland is crazy. So, but yeah, if you want some of these Rebirth books, please let me know, because unfortunately, my numbers are all in, and we can't adjust. They're pretty much sold out of everything. We're getting Titans next week, and I ordered 70 of that as well, because I was selling about 12 copies of Teen Titans. And I feel that one's probably my next likely one to go, even though I only ordered 65 copies of Aquaman, and I still have it. Not that Aquaman's bad, but I just looked at it as the same writer. I didn't see a huge change, but that doesn't hold, because it's the same writer for Green Arrow. So
he was only on Aquaman for... two or three issues.
Right, but I looked at it as I'm like, would there be a big bump just because of the change? So, Titan,
I feel like a lot of people wouldn't realize that was a new writer because he's on such a short amount of time.
Right, gotcha. But I'm saying when I was doing the order, I'm like, will there be a big change between 52 mm-hmm. and Rebirth 1? But Titans, I ordered again 50 and 20, so craziness. And that one, I think, might do a little better because of the Wally West thing. Because he's now on the cover where they originally showed it was Donna Troy, and they've changed the cover. So I think that one might get a little bit of a bump because of Rebirth that, you know, we couldn't plan for that. So I put in some reorders, but nothing's coming to fruition yet. So, but sales-wise, it's been huge. I meant to look up numbers, but, you know, big numbers on Batman. Superman did really well. They've all done really well. It's not like I'm stuck with a ton of books on the shelf. There's not many at all. Isn't that nice?
Oh, this is really nice.
Yeah, I thought that was real nice. Josh just got you. There's the Darwin Cook double-page spread tribute in this week's DC books. I'm guessing the other ones went to print, and they couldn't get them in last week's.
It's a really nice tribute.
Yeah, and I don't know if Marvel did a tribute. I didn't read any Marvel books this weekend.
Marvel Now and On Earth.
Yeah, Darwin Now. Who never did any work over there, so I don't know if that would really make sense.
No, because they had a huge falling out.
Yeah, but he obviously liked DC. So that's about all I got just as far as
this
rambling.
Was awesome.
I thought Wonder Woman was
I just
excellent.
Read today's Wonder Woman, and yeah. I won't say anything about it except for it was... awesome.
Yeah, I was very impressed with all the books this week. Awesome. And last week's. I thought I had last week's books. But we'll get to that later.
No Vegetative Injustice, Dave.
All right. Nice. That's good to hear.
But, Pat!
Yes?
What's the news?
Well, we found out there's a new director for the Flash movies. You know what, Josh? You can start doing the news. But the director of the movie Dope, a guy named Rick Famuyiwa, I think I pronounced that right, is going to be the director of Flash.
People are pretty excited about it, too. Like, Josh Williamson, who's writing Flash now, was pretty jazzed and tweeting a lot about it.
Yeah.
Flash Now? Just teasing.
See?
Lighten up, Francis. Which is fun. Just my son's 11, so he's just a little bit too young for all these great movies. But I
disagree.
Yeah.
Really?
I do, too.
He's old enough.
I don't know. Things like Caddyshack.
So
he's
what?
Old enough.
I don't want to be putting boobs in front of the 11-year-olds.
It's 2016.
I know. But
it
so
have you ever heard of the thing called the internet?
I understand.
Yeah,
but
sure,
I'm just saying we're not I'm not quite there, but I can't wait till I can introduce him to all these movies so he understands all these things I've been saying to him in his entire life.
You could show him some that don't have boobs.
Right, but I'm just thinking, like, Caddyshack specifically has
Stripes
that
Stripes from, yeah. That's,
Stripes.
Oh, Stripes has full-on bush.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Does it?
Oh, yeah. Shower scene. Yeah. I remember when I lived in California, one time they showed it unedited for some reason on regular TV. It was like a Saturday afternoon and it came on. I'm like...
And that guy got fired.
Whoa!
Yeah, so just...
Like Stripes is on TV enough. At least it used to be where you could see it without...
Well, yeah, I'm sure the edited version, but yeah. I'm just saying. So there's just so much I want to teach him, just to get back. Yeah. So, sorry.
Yeah, so...
Real quick, one more sidetrack here.
Yeah.
Sorry. What are your top five movies you want him to see that you're excited to show him?
Caddyshack, Stripes, at least the first half of Stripes.
The first half.
Little thing like Breakfast Club. You know, nothing huge, but there's one that I...
Watched
a lot of. He could probably watch that one.
Yeah,
no, you're right. He could probably watch that one right now.
Police Academy?
That'd be a good one.
You know what?
That'd be a good one.
I doubt that Breakfast Club he'd get into.
No, like Katie might. Yeah.
Well, knowing that, that's definitely a product of the time.
Yeah.
How about Ghostbusters? Has he seen Ghostbusters?
He hasn't. That's one I think he could see.
Adele watched it.
Yeah.
She liked it a lot.
Yeah. But yeah, there's just some where it's like, ooh, or I'll be going,
she
I'll
wasn't
be,
afraid of that,
we'll be bored. Like, you know, it'd just be him and me, and I'll be flipping through on demand looking for something to watch. And it's like, oh, no. And even little things, you know, like just for me, oh, High Plains Drifter. No, or damn. You know, move on. So just little things that, you know, that I enjoy. So, sorry. Go ahead, Pat.
It's all right. Now this.
Godfather. Okay.
Yeah.
You're up to four.
Blade Runner.
You need to be a lot older for Blade
Runner. Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying. Yeah.
Watching Godfather.
No, not yet. No, he just needs to be a little more mature to
you
sit through
it. You say like,
it.
It's a life lesson. Like,
no, I'm just saying, like,
well, there are sure life lessons
right.
in there.
Yeah, there
don't
are.
Be Fredo. That's the lesson.
Yeah. I could see you saying he needs to learn these lessons. Not you, though.
Yeah.
That would be Super Mario Brothers. Yeah.
You would show the Mario movie.
Mario
no, to watch the movie.
The movie, God.
I like that movie.
It's not bad.
It's
for
so
what it is.
Effing weird that yeah. it works.
It's good for what it is.
Dennis Hopper,
John Leguizamo yeah. as Luigi,
yeah.
with Bob Hoskins as Mario.
Yeah. yeah.
What inspired casting?
Now, this next thing, I sold on Comic Book Resources, but I haven't been able to confirm it anywhere else. That Brian Hitch's JLA got canceled.
Okay. It's going to be resolicited.
Okay, right. Every week we get a list of books that are canceled.
Right.
So I just happen to have it. It's on the beginning of the invoice. So, yes, Justice League, all these upcoming issues have been canceled, mostly because it was January, so it was due out in March. So okay. basically it's late.
Okay.
And it's going to be so late, and it's probably not even close to being done. So they're kind of like, you know what? We're going to cancel it. We're going to resolicit it when it's ready. It's
right, not but a, you got the new series coming.
Right,
out.
But it's not done. So they yeah. don't want to rush it, you know.
Okay.
So Justice League is coming, not a new Justice League of America. That'll be coming, I'm sure, when this is done. Again, no rush. The books aren't tying together, so it's not yeah. hugely important.
I still wonder why this guy gets put on.
I agree completely. I agree completely. Book. But
yeah,
it's a case
said I got
of,
the first 12 issues in the can.
Right.
He literally meant in the can.
In the can, yeah.
Yeah. yeah. But, so it's just really just a case of it. It's not so much it's canceled, it'll be back.
Okay.
It's not...
So the solicit was canceled, it just
right.
has to be... Okay.
Right, It's a miss... You know, it's the problem is this was a case of somebody sending something to Bleeding Cool, you know, the email, and in the email says these books will be canceled and resolicited, and Rich Johnson goes, oh, it's canceled.
Well, it was on Comic Book Resources.
Right,
because
they took it from Bleeding
Cool. Oh, okay,
cool.
okay.
But,
Were you guys reading this book?
I was, yeah.
I, for the first four...
I read the first issue. I did not like it at all.
I didn't mind it, but
yeah.
it was fine.
I thought
it was
fine.
I just didn't keep up with it.
The bigger problem I had with the first issue was it came out the week after, I think it was the first issue of the Darkseid War arc and Justice League, and I'm like, when they're that close together, it's natural to compare the two, and Justice League is just... head and shoulders above
yeah.
what that was. I thought it was interesting, the whole Ral thing that they were doing. But midway through the first arc, they had to stop it, and
yeah.
we got a Martian Manhunter.
Martian
yeah.
Manhunter
that
really
made no sense.
So you know, this goes way back to something Dan DiDio said at a Comics Pro meeting. Now, it wasn't so much at the meeting, it was at the lunch table.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody had asked him, you know, about getting big names in and stuff, and he looked and he said, I've gotten in the big names. Yikes, angry people outside. Sorry. Or did they hit? Yeah, they must have hit. Cool. Not cool. Just it happens a lot out front because, well, one, people can't drive, and two, oh, yeah, stop right there, lady. That's
if
great.
If she got hit by him,
yeah.
why did she pull all the way up there?
Yeah, I don't know. Sorry.
Oh, unless the truck... The podcast is loving this right now.
Yeah, sorry, people. This, yeah, nice accident right in front of us. No,
all rubbernecking right now.
But nice. The one thing Dan DiDio said was that, you know, he's gotten in the top names and stuff, and it really bit him in the butt and really burned him. And, you know, I have to agree, you know, when you look at stuff, especially at the beginning of his run, this was right when I opened, so I definitely remember it. So it's 10 years ago already. But, it was right after Infinite Crisis, where he had, was it Kreisberg, took on Wonder Woman and did like three issues and then went back to TV and abandoned him. Uh-huh. And you had a bunch of new books came out and it just everything stalled because he did go. He went for the big names, you know, All-Star Batman and Robin. Hey! Oh, yeah, just kind of
PSA,
fizzled.
Folks, if you get in an accident, pull off somewhere where you're not in the way and put your four ways on. Don't be that person.
Yeah,
right.
Or those people, as we're sharing
just
right now.
She's totally blocking the
she's
entrance
blocking
to Donaldson's Crossroad.
There.
And
no
doesn't have blinkers.
On.
Yeah.
That guy is still just sitting right there in the entrance, no four ways on.
Yeah. Doesn't look like, is he going to go left and get out? No. Okay. But yeah, so it was just interesting him listening to him say, I tried. And that's, you know, it's kind of the same thing with Hitch. You know, it's like, oh, Hitch had said he would have been working on this for 2 years. Okay, let's go with it. And now, you know, he made it through 8 issues, and it's kind of, or even 7, because the one was a fill-in. So, yeah, just kind of sucks. So I guess, you know, looking for more reliable people as opposed to the big names, because the big names do kind of bite you.
Well, they've signed a few big names.
They have, but maybe by signing them exclusive. I don't know.
They just...
Abnett last week.
Yeah.
Well, Mitch Gerrits.
Yeah, my guess is maybe when you sign an exclusive deal like that, it's like, okay, and you're signing on to do this, this, and this, and you're going to do it timely, or... You know, maybe you can write something in that there's a financial penalty if you're late. You know, there's something, because there has to be some recourse for the publishers instead of just them just going, okay, get it out whenever you can.
What else was he doing, though? Like, Hitch.
Yeah, I can't remember.
He had done, this one makes it even worse. There was one, America's Got Powers, which got horribly late.
What else is he doing right now?
Nothing.
That's nothing.
I don't know why. Yeah. But I'm sure the editors and DiDio's sitting there going, where's my book? You know, what do you mean it's not done? You know, so I don't know what he's doing. But, I mean, he clearly, like, he did the Mark Miller run on Fantastic Four.
That came shipped timely.
He did another miniseries, too. I can't remember the title, about superheroes who run a television show. Then they went to a...
That was America's Got Powers.
That was America's Got Powers? Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Hmm. Yeah, so... There was a really, really good article on CBR this week. I think it was on Monday. It was Brian Hibbs' Tilting at Windmills column, and it was about responsibility, creator responsibility. And it was specifically talking about Bendis. Talking about the creator-owned also denotes responsibility, and he was talking specifically about Scarlet, which had gone 3 years between issues and then shipped 8 and 9 2 weeks apart, and we're actually getting 10 next week. So that'd be 3 issues in 6 weeks. Wow. And he says, that's just a big slap in our face. And it is. It's a big F you to us, the retailers, because it's been 3 years. Let's say I sold 20 copies of that. Are those 20 people still shopping here? If they are, you know, if I have the ability to track that, do they still want it? And I don't have the ability to ask them, because the problem with the final order cutoff system is for 3 years, Scarlet was on it every week. That got Marvel out of it ever being technically late, because I had an opportunity to adjust my orders. So even though it's 3 years late, technically, because it's been on FOC every week for that, it's not considered late pursuant to our terms of contract with Diamond as far as purchasing.
Did you adjust your order?
Oh, I adjusted it all the way down. I adjusted it down to what I had sold of the last one. But then the problem is, so then 8 comes out. Well, I have to have my numbers in on 9 before I even see how 8 did.
Yeah.
And now I've had to have my numbers in on 10, having 5 days worth of sales data on 8. So not knowing, hey, those ones I pulled it for and put it in their folder, do they want it? Well, only if they came in between Wednesday and Monday. So it's just, it's a big... You know, like he said, a big screw you to us. And the point of his article was kind of, this is going to affect not just your books going forward, but it kind of affects everybody's. I'm less likely to take a chance on someone else. And I wrote a real long reply, but in it I brought up the Nathan Edmondson thing with the Where is Jake Ellis? And here's a guy who, you know, his book was 18 months late. And instead of being, oh, I'm sorry it's 18 months late, when I mentioned it on Twitter, he decided to get on me. And, you know, why am I being so negative? I thought my job was to sell comics, not make people not want to buy them. And it's just like, no, you have a responsibility that if you're going to put it out monthly or bi-monthly or quarterly, you have to hit those numbers.
For some reason, some creators seem to think that because you are a retailer that you have to always toe the company line.
Yeah.
And just be a spokesman for them, but... I don't know. I feel like your job is also be an advocate for your readers as well, and not just try and take their money and lose their trust.
And how many books are abandoned? Like Brilliant, the other book Bendis was doing, I think it was with Ron Garney. They just canceled the last 2 issues and never coming out with them.
It was Mark Bagley.
Bagley, that's right. And it's just one of those. Okay, great. So now what about the people that bought the first ones of these? They don't have a completed story. I'm the one that sold it to them.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of books. I mean, you know, think back to Iron Man Viva Las Vegas. Jon Favreau wrote 2 issues ever came out. So it's like you can't do that.
But even with Scarlet, so it's issues 8, 9, and 10. Is there a trade?
Well, these are finishing up the second trade. The first trade shipped 5 years ago.
Right. So I mean, is that something you have on your shelves?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, is there going to be interest in the second trade? Is the person that bought number 1 5 years ago going to want number 2?
So I'm assuming the first trade is 5 issues, maybe 6
yeah,
issues.
Yeah, 5.
Okay, so if they're on 8, then what about issues 6 and 7?
Right, I don't have them anymore.
Right, exactly.
Exactly.
So, you know, how can you... How can you sell that
to me? Because it had been 3 years since issue 7.
Yeah, I didn't read it 3 years ago. So how can you sell that to me as a consumer?
I agree. It's just, but it was just nice seeing someone, not just me, talking about it when that is something that I just drives me insane, the late shippings of the creator-owned stuff. And even, you know, they're calling it now, they're being clever and calling it the image break when creator, like Ringside just did that. And when creators take a break,
but
it's like...
It says it. They say, you know, Ringside
not
will return in July.
Right. But like, what if you didn't know that and you're going, hey, where's the next issue of Ringside? You forget. Because now, in 3 month period, look what's going on now. Look what's going on with Rebirth.
Oh, no.
If the last issue of something shipped back in early May and the next issue doesn't come out till October, how many books have come out between then? You might not even remember you were reading it or enjoying it or what was going on.
What happened to Autumn Lance?
Yeah,
kind of
that's taking all these
again.
Breaks. Yeah,
yeah, it's
and then never said what it was doing, and then Witches. Witches.
Yeah, I don't know if there
vanished.
Is
going to
be anymore. Yeah,
so we don't know if it ended, but
it's
by
been
this
at
time,
least
like
a year.
No, but even just recently said that they are working on.
Okay.
Yeah, they. But you had somebody come in a few weeks ago. They came in. They were looking for the book Witches with a Y. Is what they called it. I was like, okay, yeah. And I said, you know, and these are people that just came in looking for that one book. Well, when it's gone forever, they. After a while, they give up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're done.
That one's weird, too, because he's normally pretty...
Yeah.
Good
and
about that.
But
odd.
American Vampire has been horribly erratic.
And he...
Even
Scott's...
after, like, the second cycle started?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know if it ended. I just know I haven't seen an issue in forever. So then I pull it off the shelf. Because I only have so many spots, and the shelf spots have to earn their keep.
And Scott Snyder is one of these people that keeps to like a certain amount, is what he says he does.
Right,
and he's very vocal about what he does.
But the problem is, I can see the sales drop. Yeah. As it's gone for a while and then comes back, I can probably drop 20% each time. Who's that helping? That's what I don't get. Yeah, and especially for these small guys, I realize a lot of it is you've been working on this a long time. You need the money from that to pay for the rest. It's like, okay, but a lot of people are now gun-shy, and, you know, the great trade-waiting term, which makes sense. You know, I'm not going to buy this because this author's so erratic. I'll wait and get it in the trade. But then 9 times out of 10, when it comes out in a trade, they don't see it. They don't notice it.
You've forgotten about it by that point.
Yeah, because it's 6 months, a year later for it to get those issues out. So it's a gamble, but it was just nice to see Hibbs saying, you know, there's a responsibility. You know, if you come out with it, whatever schedule you set, you have to maintain.
And I think Afterlife with Archie is probably your best example of that in Sabrina.
Yeah.
Because, like, they just...
They lose all their goodwill
they
have.
Yeah. And those are a lot of books that you kind of... You have certain, you know, all these books that you as the retailer are trying to get new people in with. And they come in and they tell you... You know, do you have something that's like this? And then you're just like, yeah, I do. But if that book is, you know, inconsistent, then you lose that person. Not just for that one book, but for comic books altogether.
I feel like people are willing to forgive, you know, some breaks. But once you start getting past, like, a 3-month break on a book, when people start asking, like, wait a minute. I haven't read that in a while. Where is that at? That's when you start to...
Like to Pat saying Ringside. Like, Ringside at least said, we'll be back in July. Well, Ringside did end on an arc. So when the next story starts back up, it's going to be a new story.
Right.
That can be forgiven.
But the problem with that is you could say, you know what, I'm done. I'm out.
Yeah, that's
I've forgotten
gives
about
you a
it.
Reason to
but
to
I have to
it.
Order based on how the last one sold.
Right.
You know, so.
Which is... Probably will be the same thing. Once it comes back, you might lose those people that you had in that you were trying to sell because they're gone.
Right, but go back to, you know, Sabrina or Afterlife with Archie. In the middle of an arc,
example.
It dropped off and said nothing.
How were your numbers on
that was
by
bad.
The way? Like, when it came back with these...
Okay, you know, I haven't really looked, but I know I'm not sold out.
Yeah.
So.
And you used to sell out on that book.
Mm-hmm.
And your numbers, what you're ordering.
Yeah, they announced
the
second print,
and the same.
I remember looking on the shelf going, yeah, don't need a second print. So probably because so many people cut it way back.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was nice just reading his article. I had a real long comment on it. So.
Well, you were trying to sell that book. It was pretty consistent on when it was coming out. Before, when it first came out, you were able to sell it just because of how unique it was. Then when it dropped off the face of the earth, it made it a lot harder to sell.
Because there's nothing I hate more than, when's the next such and such coming out? Because I have no control.
Just
and
can't schedule comic books.
Well, right. But I have nothing to do with the scheduling, so, you know.
Okay, so moving on. They announced that Superman will be appearing on at least the first two episodes of Supergirl.
The first two he's going to be on?
That's what they said.
Well, I just thought he was going to be in the second season in some capacity. I didn't realize.
I thought they said the first two episodes.
I saw the first two episodes also.
This makes me so incredibly happy because if they're going to tiptoe around him, then it would just drive me nuts. Like, either give a reason for him not to be there altogether and not even mention him.
Yeah.
You're pushing.
Or go whole hog, but the whole, like, here's his boots.
Yeah. Yeah.
That part was just
Here's kind of the look at him from far away. Oh, look,
he's kind of blurry. Oh, yeah. He's flying towards us, and he suddenly just drops.
Yeah, drops off. Yeah, that's kind of messed up. But
yeah, so I'm glad they're actually just doing it.
Yeah. Now, I think that this poses some issues for the CW, just because they want to integrate that into their comic book universe. Which goes back to, well, there were no supers until Barry Allen. So how are you getting around that? Although,
well,
with what's
Earth.
Going on in the... Right, but
with
also
Flash.
With what's going on in Flash.
Yeah,
that,
I wondered that,
that
too.
Could resolve everything.
Yeah. That it could... And maybe that's their whole plan to begin
well,
with.
Well, but that was the thing. They didn't... You know, that...
Well, that's true. That decision wasn't made, and this was probably written a lot earlier than that.
But it does give them the opportunity to bring Supergirl into their world. Even if it wasn't a... We're bringing the TV show over. We can bring her over for an episode, like how they brought the Flash to Supergirl.
I think having a more superpowered character is going to help those shows because I think they lack that for a while. I think it'll give them more opening.
I disagree with you.
New things.
No,
it'll give them more opening for writing, but I think then the threats that those characters are facing
going to be too much for them.
Well, I think then the threats if
you can call Supergirl all the time, then why wouldn't you do that?
Well. I guess it's the same for the comic books, though, because, like, if you could call Superman in for the Joker, then...
You're correct, and people do say that sometimes.
Yeah.
But I just feel like with the shows, you don't want to...
It might be a little...
I think they're the perfect set right now, where by having them, you know, having her on a separate Earth, they can do their, you know, annual crossover event between all the shows, but then still have an excuse for why the rest of the season they're segmented off and just doing their own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's been several episodes, especially of Arrow, where I'm like, you know, if he just called Barry, this show could have been over in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, when they couldn't get to that idol, well, Barry could have gotten there and before Damien Dark even knew what was going on, so why didn't you do it?
Yeah. But they have, I mean...
Because he's stubborn.
With some things, yeah, but they have done a good job with, you know, bringing him in for a few minutes on an episode just to do a quick thing and back and forth.
No, they have. And generally, I like what they've done. Legends of Tomorrow, I think, is the weak link of the three shows.
Yeah.
I
think they need to reevaluate that.
I haven't
show
finished
for next
the season
year.
Yet, but I've liked the rest
I've
of
liked
it's,
it.
It's,
yeah, I think they're just going to have to reevaluate for.
There's just certain parts of it, especially if you haven't gotten all the way through it. There's
a
lot of
left.
Filler at the end there, and just parts were like, okay, can we just end this already?
I feel like, for some reason, the guy they had for Vandal Savage did not feel as menacing as he should have. And I don't think it's his fault.
No,
I think it was the writing.
That's the thing. He looked like Vandal Savage.
Yeah,
I
think it's the writing.
Yeah, he
did it.
You know,
I think they improved things with that. I don't want to give anything away with that last episode of they kind of got rid of some characters and someone new showed up with the promise of some new stuff coming in. I think that's going to be awesome.
Well, and I think that...
Was it Booster Gold?
No, it was not Booster Gold.
It was not Booster Gold.
I'd be pretty excited if it was Booster Gold.
Yeah,
I'm not going to lie.
Oh, nah. Me too.
But
me
it,
too,
yeah. It was not.
Right.
Mixel Piddler.
Spoiler jerk.
Now if you can just get...
Captain Spoiler.
You're Stephanie Brown.
Stephanie Brown.
You're going to start calling him Steph.
Yeah, you know what? She was in
he's
a book
Kip.
This week.
What's Kip? That?
She was in a book this week.
Was that book Detective Comics?
It was.
Well, that makes sense.
Spoilers again.
Stop giving spoilers on the spoiler.
I'm just saying that makes should make people Kip. Happy. They wanted spoiler books. So
did the numbers for those books pick up right where it left off before? Or did it... Like, account for the 50...
It accounted for the 52. Because remember, it was like Detective 19 was actually issue 900, so, and this is 934, so I'm going to say it count. They yeah. included those in, which is fair.
Yeah. Yeah, but did they count? Remember they did all the point issues for Villains Month and all that?
I don't know.
Automatically, well, you said 19 was what number?
Here. Well, no. I'll look to see what the last issue.
I don't remember exactly how many.
19, I think, was 900, but I'm not 100% sure.
So 19 was 900, and we're at 57 now, 957. And
they Action's 957.
Fraud. Yeah. Oh.
It's 934 for...
For Detective?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, while you're figuring that out, we'll move along. There's going to be a Josie and the Pussycats new ongoing.
Yes.
Dave?
I'm excited.
Archie book?
I'm always excited about new Archie book.
That's what's happening.
You're a big fan of the movie, right?
At the end of Afterlife with Archie.
That's I never saw the movie, honestly. I'm admitting I never saw that movie, no. Did you see it, Josh?
I saw it.
I have seen it, yeah.
It's not horrible. Is it a vegetative injustice?
Nah. It's not horrible.
It has Tara Reid.
Okay, no, it just... Because the last issue was 904, then we had 52... So that would be 956 and then 957 is the new one. So it didn't include all the annuals, which it shouldn't, and it didn't include the Villains Month.
That was Action you were looking at?
Yeah, that was Action.
Okay.
I'm sure the same for Detective.
Yeah. Okay.
That was back when Tara Reid still was, like, considered a hot commodity, I guess.
Yeah.
Speaking of the power of
pre-Sharknado days.
Mm-hmm. She's running the wave of American Pie.
Yeah. It looks like the next DC animated movie is going to be Justice League Dark.
I saw that today.
Which, you know, forever that was looking like that was going to be a live-action movie.
I think they're doing? I think they're testing it. I think they're testing some of their dark characters with the animated. They've done that before. Marvel did that for a long time with the
animated. With their animated stuff. But, like, you know, they had Constantine on TV and you know, that...
It's just like characters like Zatanna and maybe Swamp Thing or something. Whoever they're bringing into this might not be as
probably Dead
well
Man,
known.
Swamp
so
Thing,
they're wanting to put them out there more to other people. So I think that'll be cool.
Suicide Squad was officially rated PG-13, but it was supposed to be a close call.
That movie is so weird because, like, we've heard about it for so long that I feel like it should be out by now. And
it'll be out in a month and a half.
I know, but it's just like...
No, you're right. I mean...
Previews, everything. It's just like, when is this movie coming out?
Well, but the thing was, the first...
And I am excited.
See, I feel like that about X-Men Apocalypse.
The first preview we got...
I agree with that, too.
...leaked, though. That wasn't ever supposed to come out.
That was San Diego last year.
That was the Comic-Con, right.
Well, they showed it in a room with 1,000 people. Oh, my gosh, at least. You know,
well, yeah. No, I get that piece of it.
Well,
they
didn't get all butthurt like Fox did, though. Yeah. Fox got super butthurt about it. Fox had no idea that people had cell phones in there with cameras.
Fox was like, what are these devices that people are carrying around? I thought they were holding lighters. They were that excited.
Like, for a company that was putting on a movie that was really, really jokey and over the top, they were really serious about the whole leak thing. Like, so serious, you thought they were almost being ironic about it.
Yeah.
But then you realized they weren't.
But the funniest part about that, the reason why that movie got made...
Is because of the leaked
test stuff lives. Got leaked. I mean, you know, that's how they built the fan base. But that's...
Oh, Fox, you're so silly.
Yeah.
Fox.
Huh.
Fox.
Those
guys. Does the Fox say? It says, no more Comic-Con. That's what it says.
Yeah, but Disney's not doing Comic-Con. Fox isn't doing Comic-Con. I thought I heard Sony wasn't doing.
Maybe Comic-Con will become Comic-Con again.
Yeah, maybe.
Disney canceling Infinity, canceling Comic-Con.
They're out of control. They're going to cancel Mickey.
Cancel Darth Vader. Canceling Justice and Liberty with Captain Marvel.
Just don't cancel Christmas.
You'd be out of a job.
You'd be out of a job.
I don't lose money.
Yeah.
I don't feel so bad for you. You can find another job. What about an elf?
What are you talking about? His show got canceled this year, too.
I know.
That's right,
He'll be working for Amazon before
By
you
know. Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
I know. Thanks for reminding me.
We're sorry, Santa.
Can you always go back to Muppet Labs?
Muppets.
Oh.
Beaker.
I'm like,
Beaker.
I'm going, what?
Muppets got canceled.
What's Santa's show? What are you talking about? Okay.
The Muppets.
The problem is he has too many character names.
Yeah.
The beaker thing.
I got confused.
He's right, though. We were done. I did, too, actually, when you pointed out the Santa. I was just like, what's Santa? And then I put it all together.
Today is Best Friends Day. And the Muppets on Facebook had a great photo of Beaker and Dr. Bunsen hugging each other because they're best friends.
Wow.
I don't know about that. I think if I was Beaker, I'd be super pissed at Bunsen.
Well, that's
because he's always like, here, Beaker, hold this, and he gets electrocuted or blown up or
Bunsen
something.
Bunsen treats Beaker like the brain treated Pinky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Narf.
Even though the brain never wanted Pinky like around anyways, he still treated him like crap.
Well, but you needed... He needed a test subject. I kind of get that.
You two are kind of like Pinky and the Brain.
I'm the Brain, yeah, it's Pinky.
No,
that'd be Pinky. Okay. Okay, and the last thing I got, and this was, actually, I just saw this today, was The Killing Joke will be released in theaters for like a one night.
Really?
Yeah. I was trying to find where locally it was going to be shown, and they haven't announced locations yet. It's like Fathom Events. It does like the opera in the theater and all that.
Phantom of the Opera?
No, just they play different
operas.
No,
you said Phantom Events.
Oh, okay. Fathom Events, I think.
Oh, they said Phantom.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're going to be doing The Killing Joke for a one night deal. So I actually hope that is playing locally. That'd be pretty cool. Yeah. So that's all.
One night only.
Yeah, one night only.
No, I wouldn't go. Too crazy.
Yeah. Who knows what kind of people are coming out of that
show.
Not
my thing. I'm not a fan of going to the movie theater when it's like jam-packed.
I agree.
No, yeah. Because
you're going there to enjoy it. And if it's like that, you're not going to enjoy it.
At that point, you're inevitably going to have people like fanboying out.
Yeah.
People might clap at the end of the movie.
They're just like, look, it's Batman. He showed up. And they're just like,
do you guys clap at the end of the movie?
No, who does that?
Oh, it's so dumb.
Like the,
it's so dumb. They can't hear you.
Like the actors are going to hear you. They're just going to be like, oh, thank you.
Like the theater's recording it and going to send them a tape afterwards. Here's your weekly clap audio. So you know how much people appreciate you.
They're like, listen, they
come
feed
out,
off
do
of
a
it.
Bow, you throw roses at them.
Right at you trying to show the other people in the theater how much you enjoyed it?
True, yeah. Really, there was a movie.
I do it, but it's always at the wrong parts.
Superman died. Pat's like,
yeah, that guy was a jerk.
My mom's name is Martha, too. Besties.
I guess I'm a hypocrite. I'll yell.
You know, I was so mad at that moment. All the years I've read comics, I never put that together. Both their mom's name was
really?
Martha.
Yeah.
It just never dawned on me. Like, I mean, I knew both, but I'm like, yeah okay. I never really thought of that, but yeah, okay.
Well, especially because what's her name? What are Superman's parents' names?
It's
Ma and Pa. It's Ma and
Pa, Kent. Well, yeah.
That's why.
You don't think of them as Jonathan and Martha Kent.
I do think of them as Jonathan Kent.
Well, you think of Jonathan because his name was mentioned by her so much.
Yeah.
But he never so much was alive.
Yeah.
He was always
pretty well dead.
Yeah,
I never thought
of
really Martha.
So.
You know, that's Mom.
Yeah. Yeah, but Martha and Thomas Wayne.
Of course.
Martha. He never called him Mom. Mom,
Paul Wayne.
Well, Mom and Pa Kent were certainly around a lot more than Mom and Pa Kent.
Somewhere the night that Mom and Pa were killed.
Mom and Pa were killed. I was like, where are you from?
That's another part where
Gotham.
Where inappropriate clapping. Because Lauren Cohan played Martha Wayne.
Yeah.
I was happy when she got it.
You really don't like her.
I really don't like her.
I
know
her
it's unnatural, but
I
really
like
don't.
A lot.
Yeah, I just, yeah.
But I don't have a reason. I just don't like her.
Is she a robot?
No.
Oh.
It took me a second.
Where are you going with this, Adam? Yeah.
Is she the pleasure model? Lame.
He doesn't get it.
That's where I thought you were going.
With the pleasure model?
Yes.
Gag. It would work. She talks. No.
We're done.
Yeah. Anything else?
Nope, that's it.
Okay. Why'd you get before again?
I tried to hand it back.
We were getting too far into like Cosby territory. It was getting weird. No.
Adam and his pleasure model robots and Pat wanting to kill them. So, okay. Well, you asked if she was a robot. That's all
because
I'm saying.
Because of the robot.
Philadelphia,
I understand, but I'm just saying. Adam apparently likes robots. Okay.
I thought that's where the Bill Cosby thing was coming from, too.
Okay. I have two pieces of news, actually.
When it started getting a little rapey, that's when the Bill Cosby thing.
You don't have your own news.
I do, because Pat tends to just do media news, so I'm talking about comic book news.
A special report with Colin. We can't just go all over the place here.
Thunder about the
we can't just be like, Pat News, oh, let's go to Colin News. And now, here's a special
report.
Pat's News Correspondent.
Kip's Corner.
Shut up.
What's the word today, Kip?
That gets a standing ovation. He doesn't even want to say it now. He's just like, I don't want to say it.
I swear to you, I will make Kip stick.
No, you won't.
Just so you know, this is my new mission.
It doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, CP, Colin Patrick, Kip.
We get it now.
It all played out so perfectly.
It doesn't make sense.
From your little verbal flub initially to my detective skills, figuring out your middle name, putting Kip together.
By asking. Good detective skills figuring that out.
When I went down that road, I had no idea I was actually going to stumble upon your initials being CP and Kip fitting. I thought I was just speaking nonsense, and then it all worked. It's like the universe wants your name to be Kip. This is your rebirth. This is Colin Rebirth number one. You're Kip. You're Kip McMahon of Pittsburgh Comics. I'm going to give you a sweater. You're going to tie it around your shoulders? Where's the Deadpool cardigan?
Sold.
Yeah, it is.
I'll be on eBay while Kip's Corner is going on.
You're going to get him one of the polo shirts. It's going to be embroidered like Kip.
A piece of duct tape over it just says Kip.
And instead of somebody being like, what does CP mean? They're going to be like, what does Kip mean? You're going to be like, ah.
In other news, you have a very Irish name.
I do. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
He doesn't even know what he's talking
You'd miss me if I weren't here. You know you would. Yeah, you know you would.
Right now, not so much.
You'd be less entertained, and your website would be very gray.
Okay, Bryce.
If you don't accept it, your website will be really gray.
Fair enough.
Kip.
Someone's going to be downstairs playing with the groundhog, okay?
We already got rid of the groundhog.
It just came out.
Did we mention
that? That was awful.
Talk about the groundhog last week? Okay. Just want to make sure the listeners know what the reference to the groundhog is.
It's what
that Adam has locked in the basement for unknown purposes. Anybody watch Game of Thrones?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Thinking of him, Grandmeister, was it? Not Pycelle. Who's the sick one?
Oh. I can't think of his name.
Yeah.
Aemon?
No, is that the one doing experiments in the dungeon?
No.
That's the one. That's Adam down in the basement with his groundhog. What was that?
I just don't know what's going on. Because I don't watch it.
It's for the best.
That's Adam. He's downstairs doing experiments again with his groundhog.
Yeah. That's air quotes. Okay. So, July 13th, put this one on your calendar.
You're not telling me what to
actually, hang on. I just dawned on me. It's probably not July 13th.
It was 17th.
No, I thought you said it was the
It's 13th, but actually, technically, it's the 12th. Well, I guess 13th. Okay, I'll give you the 13th. But Marvel having a midnight release party for Civil War 2-3.
Not 23.
No. Volume 2, number 3, because one of the biggest heroes in the Marvel Universe will fall. Now, so they're doing a midnight release. No, hang on. Don't steal my thunder. But so they're doing a midnight release where their books will be available. And I'm assuming that DC will probably follow suit and let their books be available. So we will be doing another midnight release party. I fully expect 40 people here at midnight. My problem with Marvel
is... sarcasm, dear listener.
Yeah. Well, that's how many I had for that. But my problem is their wording. And it scares me because, one of their biggest heroes will fall. Who will fall? That's the question on everyone's lips as one of the biggest heroes in the Marvel Universe meets their end. Who is it and how...
Okay, it says meets their end.
Yeah.
Because fall could be fall from
right, no, I agree. I get you. That's what I was thinking, too. Who is it and how will divide fans for years to come?
Oh. Not Squirrel Girl. Well. Say it so.
So I... On a nut. So... what?
Squirrel Girl.
Yeah.
Chokes on a nut.
No, okay. It could be tip-toe.
Tippy toe. No, so I was talking... this was a conversation earlier that we had. So I'll bring it up. Wow, that cop is still up there with those people. Sorry. So here was my question, though. Okay, so Marvel's biggest hero. So who could this possibly be?
The Blob? And
we were but I'm just saying they're clearly trying to make a big deal of this. They're doing a midnight release just for it.
Hero.
And the idea is you'll come find out first before it gets spoiled. So I'm like, okay, so who are the big three that they always talk about? It's Thor, Cap, and Iron Man. Okay. So if they were to kill Cap again in Civil War II,
after they just brought him back?
Right. So
although actually due to fan backlash for Hydra, that might
make
sense.
Gotcha. But sadly that would be shortly around the release of issue 2 of the new book. So
I thought they came out like every 2 weeks.
No.
And Thor died right before Civil War.
Well, also, Thor is female Thor. Can she really be considered...
Does she have, cancer or something?
Right.
That's what I said. Right.
Having her die of cancer, that's the big thing in Civil War. Civil War II is she died of cancer.
Cancer's not funny, Colin.
It's not funny, but I'm just saying, I'm assuming they're going to die in battle or something big and important. Just, oh yeah, passed away, you know.
I think a Kip would laugh at.
Yeah, shut up. So it's not the Iron Man? I don't see them killing off Iron Man. I mean, possibly, but... That's a possibility. But then after that, who? Somebody else said Spider-Man.
I don't see him killing Spider-Man. Captain Marvel? I mean, when you think about who's the biggest...
Is she one of the biggest Marvel heroes?
You know what? She's a B.
Earth's mightiest hero.
A bitch?
No, a B-lister.
Throw that around when you're talking about a woman. Oh, that's not cool.
No, I was thinking the human centipede. She's
okay,
the
well, Squirrel Girl's a C. No.
Whoa, Kip!
You're going full
brat tonight, aren't you?
Okay. The other piece of news I have is...
One day, someone said Kip, and you're going to answer to it without any hesitation or look on your face, and in that moment, I will know that I have won.
The other piece of news is that they've announced a second prints for all the Rebirth books. Just last week's, but this week's as well. So, my guess is from the Comics Pro, like I was talking about, everybody's looking for it. So I'm sure they did an overprint, but it all got sold out immediately because people underappreciated how big and how well received this was going to be. So that's the other piece of news I have.
Will they still be at $2.99?
Yeah. Yeah. The only reason the other one was more is because it was bigger. You know, it was an 80-page book. I have some good news on that front, but we'll get to that later.
Good news.
Good news.
You're not
I'm surprised that book got so much flack about the second print price increase, but no one has really latched on to All-Star Batman having a higher price.
But again,
it's a higher page count.
Somebody did ask that.
So is that, and
that
no one got all...
Right, but I think Rebirth was a different situation. That was like a promotional price almost to get it into the stores, and that's why it's $5.99 going forward.
When is that one coming out?
We haven't even ordered it yet.
August. I didn't think anybody brought
that. Yeah, that one's August.
That was actually a question, though, that we had on the podcast a few weeks ago.
Did we?
Yeah, I think it was James asked, you know, DC made the big deal about everything being $2.99, and then they announced All-Star Batman's going to be $4.99.
That wasn't technically part of that whole bunch.
When they're talking about the monthlies, I don't know if that one...
I mean, they did announce it during their
part of their big event.
So I guess...
They also announced his exclusive contract... The same event.
I think they need to watch how much they say is like, this is going to be, everything's going to be
What they said is the regular 32-page comics.
But when they say things like,
not a
hold
on page.
At $2.99.
Right.
But that's also not going to be a regular book that's in continuity and all that.
Right. And like I said, mainly because it's more
pages. They should say something like, the majority of our comics are going to become
I'm just surprised that people haven't given a lot of flack for it.
It's DC.
Well, I'm not going to buy this All-Star Western by Snyder and Sean Murphy. It's stupid.
All-Star Western.
All-Star Batman.
Sorry. I'd buy that All-Star Western.
Yeah. Okay. I would,
it's coming.
By the way.
That was
a good book.
I'll pitch it.
That was a good book. I didn't read it yet. I might pick it up at some point.
I did. It was.
I think I know a guy that sells them.
I do. Old 52s. So.
What's that guy's name?
Well, if not new 52 anymore.
It'd be funny if the newer prints of those trades had
old 52.
I doubt they're going to say that, but maybe they'll
It'd
say
be funny, though.
DC Now. It's a new post-rebirth that's coming out.
Former 52
DC in November. Yeah,
all new DC Now.
All new DC Now. All new, all different DC Now.
Cop's gone, but now it's
no, he's still there. He pulled forward a little bit.
Okay. Wow, that guy's not. He just cuffed him. Holy cow. No. So. Like,
what are you cop up there?
Eagle Eye over here.
Eagle Eye.
So, like anybody read anything that came out last week? Nothing?
Okay. Nah. Books are stupid.
That's a podcast.
So what comes out next week? Nothing.
Who wants to go?
Who read some Rebirth titles last week?
I think we all.
You only had one of them last week?
I just read Batman.
Really?
I know. He didn't go all in. Even Tim was surprised.
Tim wasn't surprised. He just noticed that it wasn't.
Four books.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. He wasn't feeling it.
What the F is wrong with you?
Yep.
Too busy feeling the groundhog.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That'll stick too,
yep.
By the way.
Going bad. Sadly, I know.
So who wants to go?
Well, Batman, since
okay.
you read that. So
horrible, awful book. I don't know why they bothered with this.
This book focused a lot on Duke and showed what?
Like not
Dupe.
John Wayne.
Duke? Like Dupe?
Yeah,
interesting.
Duke.
That would have been an interesting take. Yes.
Duke.
Duke. I love the line when Batman is like, I want to show you something. He's like, I really don't want to be another Robin. I'm doing fine on my own. And, then Batman goes, actually, I was thinking of going a different way, and showed him the new costume. And I loved his line. I'm interested.
Yeah, the only thing with that is like, so he won't be called Robin, but he'll still be acting like he'll still be a Robin.
But it was enough to intrigue him. I like that.
Yeah.
Did he even get a name in that book?
Not yet.
No, not yet.
Not yet.
Well, Damian's still around. Damian's Robin.
Yeah.
So
he's Duke. That's his name. Duke. The Duke.
We
go with Duke.
Or Duke, because that. Seems offensive.
The Calendar Man stuff in there.
That was bizarre.
Yeah, it was
interesting. Interesting, but quite bizarre.
In New 52, they made him into like a different character, kind of like a thug.
Well,
if you remember,
he was a thug and he forgot his kid's birthday.
Yeah.
And Bruce, as Matches Malone,
beat
the crap out of him and said, you know, get a calendar. Like beat him up in this bathroom and said, get a calendar.
Yeah.
Man.
He said, get a calendar. And he just kept laying there, you know, muttering back to himself, like, get a calendar, get a calendar, get a calendar. Like, then he became Calendar
Hold
man.
The door. Hold the door. Hold the door.
Yeah, he was the new 52's Hodor.
But in this case, he was, like, it was kind of interesting. He kind of had almost, like, a power in a way. Not really a power, but...
Yeah, but let me say this. I liked that new 52 origin for him a whole lot. Like, I like the idea that Bruce was so motivated by this guy's actions towards his son.
Yeah.
And instead of, you know, taking him down, he tried to do his best for the kid.
Yeah.
Let him stay around, but then make a point of saying, like, don't.
Yeah.
Don't
he didn't
be a
have
screw.
That. He didn't have that Hannibal Lecter, like, feel to him like they did with Long Halloween.
Yeah.
But in this, he definitely did.
Yeah.
But in a way, they took him to, like, a new level where he like...
Yeah, I don't ever remember him having powers.
He shed his... He didn't... Like, I don't want to say powers exactly, but he does in a one way.
Well, no, he's reborn.
He literally rebirths himself every...
Yeah. He is rebirth.
Yeah, every full cycle.
And he... his whole plan in this, he was, like, changing weather patterns.
Well...
In some way, in order every day. Was it every day...
I think
it was
every
season?
3 days was...
Every 3 days.
Yeah, it was something like that.
I think
maybe
it was every day, because
it was every day.
It was like Wednesday, spring, Thursday, summer.
I'd have to go back, but...
Because at first I thought they were, like, skipping forward in time.
Yeah.
And then you realized it was actually tied to
same
him.
Same week,
But and if it continues, then this spore that he was using will affect Gotham again. Batman was able to stop it when he was, you know, doing spring or whatever it was. But as the time goes on, if he can't fix this whole season thing, then it'll affect Gotham again.
Yeah.
and he can't finish it. But it was good. It was a really good issue.
It was
I want to see where they're going.
It's very much setting up Bruce to be, you know, training.
Yeah,
training Duke. You know, bring on this new like sidekick kind of,
which seems a lot like it's kind of neat how they're doing Batman, because with New 52. Everybody seems so mad at him for a while, which has always been kind of the feeling in Batman. But in this case, they were all of his like apprentices.
Well, it's bringing the family back together.
Yeah, and in this, I think after he was reborn in what was the title called? When he was fighting the plant, Mr. Bloom, and when he finally comes back and he's reborn,
super
in
heavy.
That, he's able to. Yeah, that's right. He was able to. Take on like a new leaf almost. He's more positive feeling. He's gonna like in the detective, which I haven't read yet, but you can tell by the cover he's taking on these kids that he's picked up now. He's picked up Spoiler and Black Bat, which isn't Black Bat anymore. It's something else. Orphan. And you know, it's just that's the direction he's going to. He's not ignoring them. He's not telling them no, you can't do this, and that he's in charge. He's just going to try to lead them, actually, which is kind of a new leaf for.
And he smiles a little bit,
Bruce. Yeah, and then he's a little.
I like the scene with him and Lucius.
Yeah.
On top of Wayne Tower.
Yeah.
Oh, they were calling that like the goth or the Grayson fan service. I was reading that online. You know, the topless Bruce.
But it's just it's a neat. Little direction.
Sounds like
a
maneuver, like some sort of like figure skating
topless Bruce.
Old Cotton, he's pulling off the topless Bruce. Stay tuned here on ESPN8, The Ocho.
The Ocho.
But
yeah, it was good. It's just a good introduction into where the direction of Batman is going. So
badass training with that tree.
Yeah.
What did that tree do to them?
That's still better. Damien goes at him with swords. I mean, they're just kicking
it. I'm surprised they have any trees left in there on Wayne Manor.
Mm-hmm.
And then Alfred with the avocado, and he's just cutting it, but then he just throws it into the hole. I didn't quite get what that was.
Feeding the bats.
Is that what he's doing? He's feeding bats? Mm-hmm. It's going to take more than one avocado to do that.
They're tiny.
You sure?
Yeah.
But yeah,
it was good.
Yeah.
Green Lanterns.
Yeah.
Rebirth. So this focuses on Jessica Cruz. Is that her name?
Yeah, Jessica Cruz
and
Simon Baz.
Baz. And they are being brought together to, as a team, defend the Earth sector while Hal goes off to unravel some mysteries behind, you know,
the Lost
core.
Army.
It bugs me because Baz was with the core in Lost Army and Edge of Oblivion. So why is he on Earth now if they're still missing? I have a feeling I have a feeling they're not actually missing because of that. That something else happened, and that's why he's around right now.
Yeah, I think they even said to find out more about what's going on Green Lantern Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps. I think it comes out next week.
Next month.
Oh, is it next month? Okay.
Next week, get the number ones for the last week. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was good, though. It was really good. The art was really on point.
Yeah.
In this issue, except for Simon Baz didn't have his piece on his hip. He didn't have his gun.
He's gotten some heat about that, so that might be something they're dropping.
I thought he
did. But she made a point of saying in Rebirth. I think it was when it was showing.
Was it in Rebirth or was it Justice League?
In Rebirth, whenever like touching everyone and like setting up for the new books, she said, "So I'm gonna be with the one with the gun."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The only thing that was a John's thing, so that was
why
my
did
only
that.
Thought.
Well, the only thing I'll say is whenever he got called, you know, to go meet up with her and Hal, he was scrubbing off graffiti off of his sister's garage.
Terrorist.
So like he kind of like went off. So I guess he didn't have a chance really to grab it, but.
Why did that have heat? You were saying that it.
Like, a lot of people didn't like that he had a gun.
Gun.
That was all. Why does a Green Lantern need a gun if he?
But
has
I
a
feel like they did it well, like because they made a point in the book of saying like why you need a gun, and then at one point he
the
did need it.
Need it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Huh. No, I really liked the way, and I liked how it ended with the Red Lanterns back and you know, looks like they're going to be kind of the main adversary at the beginning, which,
yeah,
you know, it.
I just hope they explain.
But that's just it. So right now you have the Red Lanterns claim 2814 because of the deal Hal made with Guy Gardner way back, you know. Sinestro is claiming it, and Hal has these two working together.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, there's already going to be some conflict there.
But the only thing that I hope they explain is why, like, Bleez was pretty much, you know, one of the good guys with Guy, and now she seems very, like, bloodthirsty.
But she, even when she was with Guy, she wasn't. She's always...
But she was a still functioning as like a protector of that sector.
No, she was, but you could always kind of tell she was more bloodthirsty than the rest.
Yeah, but I feel like it was almost like a bloodthirst, almost like the like Thea and Canary had on Arrow.
Yeah.
Not where she...
It's more of a
not where like she wanted to, you know, massacre people. It was just she had this...
She had the blood loss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This, it sets up almost like they want to massacre Earth.
Could be. And Dexstar. I mean, anytime you get Dexstar in there, it's pretty good. Yeah.
So. This is just me, like, still, like, missing the Charles Soule Red Lanterns run.
No, I do. I miss. It's, you know, that went, what, 35 issues or 40 issues, whatever
it was. His run didn't go that long, because it was Peter Milligan at
first. No, yeah. But, I mean, That book itself, and that was not a book where you would have expected to go that far. I mean, Lars Fleas only made 13, and it limped to 13.
Yeah.
So. Green Arrow Rebirth.
I really loved
that book.
Yeah, I was very pleasantly surprised by that. I finally read Dan's copy. Loved the art. I thought it reminded me of, like, Murphy-esque. But I just love the interaction between the two of them. Like, they're just meeting, but there's an attraction there. Yeah. The banter between them I really liked.
Definitely, like, playing up that there was something missing there, like, for that 10 years.
Yeah, and, you know, how are you fighting the man when you are the man? And then the whole creepy...
The whole Speedy thing, though.
Isn't
your world like a heroin addict? Like, wow, that's kind of harsh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's, again, they're referencing it all.
Yeah.
That's all past. I don't think that had anything to do in New 52. I don't think we had anything.
No, they're bringing back
the original. No, the CD was never with Green Lantern.
Yeah, so it's just Green nice Arrow. That they're bringing all that back. I thought that was outstanding.
It was a very surprising book.
But again, same writer as
before.
But
the tone was so different.
Right, no, I get it. But I'm just saying, again, the same writer who was doing it before that no one was interested
in. I think that's an editorial change where before, you know, was, you got to stay very much in this universe. Now, do what you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I thought that one was very, very good.
Yeah.
And while that was a rebirth one, I think it was also a one. I see that. I don't see them starting fresh. I see that story kind of continuing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where some of these, like the Wonder Woman, clearly was starting point. Here's where we're centering her here. Now go.
Mm-hmm.
I think Batman was like that too. I don't think we're getting any more Calendar Man story now. But I definitely
that Calendar Man was there as a device
to
put him and Duke together and show the training.
And Green Lanterns, now they're going to go into Red Lantern, but if you didn't read this, you wouldn't be confused reading the next one. I don't want to say you're going to be confused not being able to read Green Arrow Rebirth, but that definitely felt like this is where it's
continuing.
I guess you could say that whole thing was still a plot device to get those two characters together.
Yeah, that could be. But I just see that auction thing going forward. So. Superman.
And Superman Rebirth number one. This one was probably my least favorite of the four. I liked it. I'm not saying I didn't like it. It was just, this one, it was more of an info dump on things and less things happened.
But I liked how they brought in Doomsday and explicitly said, this happened.
Yeah. Yes. And it was cool seeing those
The redone images of...
Yeah. But I also like, you know, I'm just waiting for him to be reborn. Well, let's go find his fortress and see about this thing that'll bring him back. And then all of a sudden at the end, kind of going, this Superman isn't coming back. And acknowledging that and realizing he is now going to have to step up. And you see that in action as well. It came out today of him realizing it's now on him.
Yeah.
So it was, I enjoyed that. I thought, I liked
it. Even though it wasn't
Now, someone
that Clark
like...
and that Lana, it was good seeing that connection
mm-hmm.
there. And
yeah. mm-hmm. it's I'm not a Superman reader. I really like that book.
So I liked it. And I just all four of the books were really good.
Mm-hmm.
And out of those four, that was probably my least favorite. But if those other ones weren't out, it would be one of my favorite books of the week. I liked it a whole lot.
Who is the Clark from American Alien? Do we have
no,
idea?
That's not gonna.
It has
no.
nothing to do with
no.
any of this.
No. That's not that was just continuity. No. That was just a fun book.
No.
It'd be a great trade.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
It'd be right there next to All Star and Birthrate and
yep.
All Seasons.
Yep. No, yep. I enjoyed that one a whole lot. Well, here I'm gonna go since that's the end of the reverse. I just have one more book. So, Civil War number one. Anybody else read that?
Oh, Dave.
Just oh, Dave read it. Yay! I'm like, that's just so telling.
Remember
you.
When all of us,
you guys, are just such DC and Valiant hacks. You won't even try anything else.
Oh, man,
dude, we used to be all in.
What happened?
This
podcast. And
I stopped. About Marvel I stopped books. Going in on these events at what was the
Siege? Sixers? Fear itself?
No.
Secret Invasion.
What was the secret one?
Secret Invasion.
No, where they were telling
Secret Wars. Where they were telling all the stuff.
Where they were telling the like.
Oh,
I can't
remember. Original Sin.
Original Sin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I thought Secret Wars was after that.
It was, but I read Secret Wars because I thought it would have a big impact
and
everything.
Okay.
So I didn't read Secret Wars and I didn't read Axis.
I think it's
Sixes.
I read Secret Wars because I thought it would matter. It didn't because now we're doing now.
It all matters.
I think it was for me. It was Infinity, and then. After that, I was like, because of the same reason for Secret Wars, because I thought it was going to make some sort of big difference and maybe be a good jumping on point, which it really wasn't. Yeah.
Spoilers, Franklin Richards recreates the universe.
Does a very bad job of it, too.
Yeah.
What's anybody come back?
He recreates like, all kinds of stuff that shouldn't be there.
He had the power to create all sorts of peace, and he didn't. Just threw Thanos into the mix.
Well, you can't create a utopia.
I just like how we're getting repeats, like, of events, you know, Secret Wars, now Civil War, just like, you know.
Can't wait
Secret
for Fear
Invasion.
Itself. This is...
Oh, God, I don't want to hear about, think about that book anymore.
Fear Itself, too. Electric Boogaloo.
But, yeah.
But, basically, in it, it's revealed that after the events of the Free Comic Day book, that War Machine Jim Rhodes has passed on. And believe it or not, Tony's really upset about this. He's kind of mad. And he's mad at Carol for leading him into a battle against Thanos, because that made perfect sense.
So
that
what,
War Machine would take on Thanos.
When Thanos shows up?
Yeah.
You know what, guys? Yeah. I got stuff to do.
Well, no, but
stuff.
They went there because... No, see, remember, it was because the Inhuman, who can predict the future, told him Thanos was going to be there, so they were lying in ambush. So, again, what was War Machine going to do against
you know
Thanos?
What? That's a dumb idea, because, like, it's up to him. Like, if he showed up, it was because
mm-hmm.
he made that decision to show
well,
up.
Yeah, but
he
wasn't
he
and Carol
team.
Were dating, weren't they?
That's what
yeah.
I thought.
But what was she going to say?
Yeah.
No, don't show up? Like, what
no,
was he
but,
do?
And then he shot a rocket, and he missed, and he hit
She-Hulk,
and now she's might be
going.
Dying.
Yeah. Which, how's a rocket going to hurt She-Hulk?
Well, she isn't
it's
Hulk
a special
Hulk.
Rocket. It was
she
a Thanos
a little
rocket.
Bit depowered from the actual Hulk because sometimes she does go full Hulk, and
never
that's when she has
Hulk.
A problem.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Never
yeah.
But like in
that's hard to live down. That's hard.
I thought that I could like throw the line and bait you into saying it.
Nope, because it just gets beeped anyway.
In Avengers Disassembled, she went like all the way, like and she.
Wow.
But yeah, my only and
now
and,
she's a woman,
and it's leading, and it brought up there was a lot of it was talking about the conflict between Iron Man and Captain Marvel, and calling him a futurist. He's like, yes, he's a futurist, but he wants to learn the future, not you know, be. I don't know. It just
yeah,
it, none
know.
Of it's kind of really worked.
Yeah,
the arguments didn't really play out
right.
Yeah,
I don't know right. if Tony's. Explanation, you know, I bought that, you know, for that. But something else is going to have to happen to if there's going to be six more issues.
Yeah,
you know?
And one other problem I had with it was everything that they referred to happened in the Free Comic Day book,
yeah.
not in that book.
Yeah.
So if you didn't read that book, and of course now I'm out and it's sold out, Ed and Silly Me gave away 400 copies of it, you know, didn't hold any back because you need to read it to understand Civil War. That was my one problem, is so much of it didn't happen in the book. And Zero was very disconnected from it, too, because Zero was just basically setting up Carol and or Captain Marvel and She-Hulk's positions.
Yeah.
And then in the end, She-Hulk's position is nothing. Because she agrees with Captain Marvel at the end as she's dying. So, yeah, it just it was a lot of talking. I don't remember a lot of action in it.
Why are they...
But it is a Bendis book.
They fight a Celestial at the beginning.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Before, that's their first battle using Ulysses' powers.
That's right. I forgot about that.
So what are the like, why are people like picking sides? What
I'm not sure what the sides are right
now.
Why
these purple because they believe in this versus these people because they believe
Rhodey's death kind of.
Is that it? They're just like, we believe Rhodey should have lived and we believe Rhodey should have died.
Draws the line in the sand for Tony, I think.
I get it with him, but like, why are other people like, yeah, we agree with him?
I don't think there's been a whole lot of division like that.
Because like in the beginning of the original Civil War, you knew why there was there were sides.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And it was just like I think it was almost interactive where
you
could have been like
the argument, you can understand why the argument's there.
Yeah. And it was really interactive because you could have been like you could have picked a side for a reason that you're just like, yeah, I believe in this. Like it was a little political for your
think there was a whole lot of division of that except for Carol's the Ultimates. I don't even know who's on the Ultimates. Because they're all for this because they're trying to stop these disasters before they happen. That's what they do.
I don't think they know what's going on.
Yeah.
I just don't think there's really a plan to their stories anymore. Like, they're just like, this is why, you know. And Civil War, a lot led up to that. Like, a lot was going on in the background of every issue you were reading. Like, when you were reading Spider-Man, something was happening that Tony Stark was dealing with, and it led to Civil War. But in this, it just seems like we're there with this Free Comic Book Day book because of some little issue that happened between people, and thus war. You know,
I think we're there just because there's a movie that came out called...
No, Brevoort said no.
Oh, okay. No,
he said that isn't the case. This was all in the works forever.
Okay.
Since before movies existed.
I'll take his word for
really?
It.
Really?
Yep. And then he ate a pizza. And in that, you know it's true.
Yeah. I wonder what they slammed together to make for Civil War to make this a reality. Besides
it was a bag, a 5-pound bag, and 10 pounds of poop.
Just,
I can't comment on the quality. I haven't read it. But.
I don't want to go back to this.
But no, but the
I have
idea.
To because I have a
I mean,
question.
You're being negative, Pat. That's not cool.
Did you read the Free Comic Book Day book?
No, I did not.
I did.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, so am I.
Are you guys fighting?
No.
Yeah.
It was just like, well, I did.
No, because you say, I didn't read it. I read
I did.
That
and
first
it,
part,
it was,
and I'm like, this doesn't... And that's the problem. I think... And we've talked about this before. The Free Comic Book Day books should sell me on the book, not make me say,
bingo.
And here's the part that's telling as to where I'm at in terms of Marvel events now, is previously that Free Comic Day book that start the jumping on point for this brand new big event, I would have read it instantly.
Yeah.
I got home, I looked at the stack of books like, I'll read it eventually.
I read
the 4001 book. I couldn't wait to get home and read.
That's the first thing I read. Yeah. I knew I had no interest in jumping on this event, just because even if I read that book and it was good, from past experience, I would have started the event, enjoyed it for a couple issues, then it would have dwindled off, and I would have been
good. The second issue is going to be okay. The 4th through 7th, nothing is going to happen. Nothing's going to happen through the first half of the 8th.
It'll be late. Like
in the last 4 pages, something, you know, Deus Ex Machina happens and resolves everything.
And the first Civil War was okay, even if it was late. You know, it was a pretty good book.
Yeah.
So this one doesn't seem like it's getting there. So.
Yeah.
We'll see. I didn't want to go back to this because it caused a bunch of stuff towards Colin, but no, I can't. But
stab you.
Ms. Marvel.
Kips don't stab.
Ms. Marvel.
They keep you on their boat.
Captain Marvel, I mean, they are really trying to make her an A-list character. Like, they're really trying to do that lately.
Yeah, but...
She was a B-list character. But if you can consider her that.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Yeah, it's
you
okay.
You can do that, but you got to do it organically throughout the story. Yeah. I mean, that's...
I don't think they've done...
Don't just tell me she's an A-list character because you called her an A-list character.
I just like how the last Civil War, she was on Tony Stark's side. I reminded you of that. but yeah, it's interesting what they're doing with that character. That they're trying to make her one of the bigger characters in all this. So.
I don't know, a 12-inch PVC.
But you know what? It doesn't hurt PVC. For them to be making her into an A-list because they don't have a Wonder Woman. You know, they don't have that A-list female character for Marvel because they just never created one. So I think that's really what they're trying to do. Plus, the character of Captain Marvel, they kill off all the time. So
that was Marvel.
Well, yeah. But still, it just, you know.
No, that's... I get that. And, you know, that kind of leads me to the bigger problem, though, that I have. And it's, you know, not just Marvel, because DC's done it, too, with, like, Wally West.
Yeah.
But with characters in general, it's okay to make changes to characters. But make them organic. Make it natural. Make it what it is. Wally West didn't have to be black. You already had Wally West. You can create that character.
Yeah.
Make him his own character. Don't...
They did. They're cousins.
Yeah, exactly.
Are they making the other Wally West Kid Flash? Is that what they're going to do?
Well, that's just it. Well, no, because you're not reading it. He showed up. His future self showed up and told him, yeah, you're going to have powers. You're going to do all these great things. And he appeared to be dressed as Kid Flash, although...
Well, that I read. Rebirth?
No. This was in The Flash... probably 2-3 months ago.
Okay.
So they, you know, that's fine. You know, if you want to have a Black Flash character, great. No problem. Make it organic. Don't take the name of another character.
Yeah.
Diversity's fine. We've always but done don't it, though. Don't cram it down our throat that way, you know? You can make the character, you know, if you like Cyborg. Cyborg has not been a major character, but they wanted to make him a major character.
Yeah.
So they've done things. Okay, great. Some of it works, some of it doesn't. Do the same thing here.
Yeah.
And don't, you know, don't...
make it fit. Have a reason. And
yeah, exactly. Have a reason to make it work.
Don't just throw it in. I think with Captain Marvel, they haven't really, because, like, they gave her own book, but if you weren't really reading that, you wouldn't... I mean, maybe they've set it up of who she is and what she does. I don't know. I've never read the main Captain Marvel book.
It was good. I liked it a lot. And she was pretty prominently featured in, like, Infinity...
Yeah.
And Hickman.
Is she like the originals? Like, she gets her power from the same way? Like, it's usually the...
She got her power from...
the bands.
From Mar-Vell.
Or isn't she the one with the bands, or is that Quasar?
No, that is Captain Mar-Vell.
But she didn't get her powers from that.
No, she got them something else.
This machine.
Yeah.
This Kree device.
Is it the same as, like, her Ms. Marvel powers? That's all she has, right? When she was Ms. Marvel.
Nothing's changed other than she entered the military. Yeah.
Well, she was always in the military.
Just saying. She went from Ms. to Captain.
Yeah. It's okay, then, after that.
Yeah.
But in the military, she's a colonel.
Nah, it's all confused, eh?
Colonel Marvel just wouldn't work.
Colonel Marvel.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's just dumb.
Who knows, though?
Well, Sheree kept.
It's negative. That was all I read.
That's all you read?
That was it.
Did you have other comments on Civil War, or did we...
No, that's all. No, that's good.
Did you read Dr. Fate?
Yes.
That book felt very much like a Rebirth book.
Yeah, and I was going to mention that about it. It just...
Well, I mentioned it first. So.
Yeah, it was... No, I just had that on. I love how what they're doing, because they have the time, they understand, and they're making it a legacy character, which is... really good. And how they did it.
So was it old Dr. Fate?
Yeah.
Or
it's both. Kent.
Kent is his...
Nelson.
Kent is his great uncle.
Yeah.
And he
was, I felt like he was involved a little bit in the kid getting the helmet. A little
it
bit.
It seemed like it, but then when he was asked, like, does this have anything, he asked him, like, does this anything have anything to do with you? And he's like, I don't think, something. He did say that at the beginning of this book.
But he's almost
I still,
like,
feel like there's something.
He's almost like a mentor in this book.
Okay.
And he has powers still. He doesn't need the helmet to call in the powers anymore.
Yeah.
Okay.
A helmet appears on him.
Yeah,
he transforms.
He looks like wearing a helmet, but he doesn't need the physical helmet to.
Which is perfect because it just goes to what we were reading in Rebirth, where he shows up, and he shows up just like he does in this book.
Mm-hmm.
So it's I hope it continues. And when I see this book and reading, especially this issue, it feels like it's going to continue the way it's supposed to be. So I hope it does continue. Because I really have liked this book. I like the first arc. There was an artist change just in between, and then it started right back up with Sonny Liu again. So, it is. It's a fun book. And this issue I really did enjoy.
I'll be honest. I was on the verge of dropping this book.
It got to a point, like a weird point that you were just like, I don't know where
this issue really reinvigorated my interest in the book, though.
It did.
I really liked where it's going and the whole, you know, mentoring aspect.
Yeah. And he needed it. That's the thing. And they did, Paul Levitz wrote the book like that. Like, this kid didn't know what he was doing. He was trying.
Yeah,
but he just didn't know what direction.
And that's the biggest
to.
Success of all this Rebirth stuff is it makes the current status quo make sense while still appreciating everything that came before and showing, you know, how it had a place in giving us this current status quo.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a really good book. I've really liked the character through this new Dr. Fate. But yeah, you're right. It did have this point where it kind of just slowed down a little bit. That you were just like, "Yeah, what's going on here?" Like, didn't feel like it was moving. And then this issue came out, and you're just like, "Oh, this is interesting. They're going in this way." So, because you keep thinking to yourself while reading it, you're like, "Well, was there Dr. Fate before this?" Like, and you were thinking that throughout the whole book.
I mean, I feel like there was. It seemed like it was a mantle that this kid was eventually passed to this kid.
Yeah, and then I kept thinking, like, is this the Earth 2? Like, no, but then I read Earth 2 after that, and it went in a direction where this could never possibly be that Dr. Fate. But it is. It's good. It's really good.
Did you guys read Moon Knight?
I did.
Didn't like this issue as much. I feel like the story didn't progress at all in this issue.
Well, only that they escaped the asylum.
But I feel like last issue they essentially
escaped. Yeah, they were on their way out.
But remember they were still being chased in this one.
Yeah, this one the chase is
and there's more. Yeah, it's still there's a lot of the is this going on in his head or is this actually happening? Like we saw Dr. Emmett, who is Amut.
Yeah.
Where it's the head of the dog, but the rest of her body was a female.
I feel like we're at the point now. You don't have to give everything away, but you need to throw like some sort of bone to the readers to like.
Is this really happening, or is this?
Well, I don't need to know yet if this is real or not. But throw me some sort of like clue or like escalate things just a slight amount. Mm-hmm. This just felt like a continuation of the first, like a very. It felt like it was a double-sized issue, too.
Okay.
Like, it felt like the second half issue, too,
yeah,
and not really...
I can see that. Yeah, the only real event in it was one of them had to be sacrificed.
Yeah.
And I think it was Frenchie.
No, it was the old man. Not
okay,
Frenchie.
Yeah. Okay.
I can't remember the old man's name.
Gina is the woman... Yeah, I forget the guy's name.
And because you don't know if this is real or not, you don't really care as much about the old man being sacrificed.
Well, but where it is important is if this is going on in his head, then these are aspects of his personality that are falling away. So theoretically, by the time he makes his way through all this, the only thing that should remain is Mr. Knight.
Okay.
because even, you know, they're calling him Mark, but he's correcting him, no, it's Mr. Knight.
Yeah.
So, you know, that part of his personality.
These characters that are with him, they were
characters.
They weren't personalities.
No, they weren't personalities, yeah. But if this is all going on in his head, then they have to be different, you know. Theoretically, the way they've set this up is, if this is going on in his head, then everything previous has been going on in his head, meaning that they are parts of his personality, as opposed to the Bendis run, where, you know, he was talking to Cap and Wolverine and Spider-Man, but he wasn't.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I've enjoyed this book. I agree. I want to see...
It's not bad, just we need some sort of clue or hint, or, you know, throw, you know, a bone. It could be a small bone, but throw a bone just to keep, you know, the readers excited and interested. Because this, I feel like, bordered on starting to become a bit boring.
Okay, fair enough.
None of you guys are reading Deadly Class, right?
No.
So this wrapped up the arc we're in, and it was... It was awesome and freshman awful at the finals. Same time. Yeah. The freshman calling. Like, I actually tweeted Rick Remender and was like, I didn't realize a book could be that awesome and that horrible all at the same time because of things that happened in it. Just because... I don't want to spoil things because it's so big, but a lot of people die in this. And nothing,
class,
nothing happened the way that I thought it would. Like, okay. And where they led you to think things were going with the previous issues in this arc, like what they were teasing, did not play out the way I thought it would. Like, where, you know, we thought there was a mole, and we thought we knew who the mole was, and yeah, nothing worked out the way we thought it was. There's a lot of very surprising deaths and some surprising possible deaths. So we'll find out when the next arc comes back up. But this is a brutal issue in the best and worst ways possible. And if I was losing interest at all before, I certainly am back on board, you know, whole hog now, because that, yeah, I don't think anyone could have read that issue and not been dying to read the next issue already. I'll be very excited when I see that on Colin's coming Wednesday list. And then the last one I mentioned, 4001 AD, number 2.
It was good.
Yeah.
All right, that's it.
Yeah.
It was good. Go read it.
Yeah, it was really good. That we had them, you know, in the exo mech suit, engaging with the dragon New Japan form, and taking it to him.
Why does everything Japanese have to transform somehow?
Because the Japanese are awesome.
Yeah.
Thing with your stuff transformed.
Yeah, if your car transformed into a dragon, you'd be like, oh, this sucks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, if you into a dragon, that'd be cool.
I bet you wish that you had, like, a Gundam.
Yeah. That's true.
I wish I had a Gundam. Transform your potato.
Reminds me, you guys ever see that movie, Big? Tom Hanks?
Mm-hmm.
When?
That's all of it.
Oh, Gundams. When they're talking about the toys, and he's like, "So it's a robot that turns into a skyscraper."
Yeah.
Who wants to play with a building?
Yeah. But yes, this mech is taking that fight to New Japan's dragon form, and it looks like it's winning, but then we find out that Father is extremely ruthless and will do anything, and the dragon form is more powerful and able to recover from...
Because they decapitate.
They decapitate it, but then it, like...
It just goes
into their head.
Yeah.
So it's really a Hydra, not a...
Yeah.
No, they grew two heads.
Yeah. And the Father is, you know, quickly eliminating sectors full of people as he needs to, you know, reallocate resources.
Now, he eliminated...
God's about to screw up again.
He eliminated the girls. What's her name? She lost her eye. I forget her name now. That was her sector, wasn't it?
Lula?
Yeah, Lula.
Her home sector. She got out of there, though. She went to go warn her parents in the first issue.
Yeah.
It was the first issue or was it the free compete issue?
First one.
First, yeah. Okay. And they were like, you know, father knows best.
They were dumb. Yeah. Father knows best. That's funny.
How'd
that work out?
Yeah, she eventually had to, you know, leave and let them, to whatever fate.
Yeah.
But yeah, her sector was jettisoned off.
There was one thing I didn't understand in this. She was, has there been a lot of time that's passed between him being on Earth? Because she just got her, what do they call him, positron?
Oh, yeah, he's been on Earth for a little, Earth for a little while.
Okay.
On Earth.
Well, she just got that positron, and she kept talking about it like she's had it forever, and I felt like there was like a time difference that I missed somewhere, because she was talking about it. She's like, we had all these plans and everything, and then
did you read all of Ray?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's been a decent amount of time, because he got to Earth, he was pretty much dead. He had to find the old Rye.
So he did stay there. It just seemed like he wasn't there for a long time.
Because he had to go on a trek to find the old Rye that was still alive there.
Yeah.
And then he had to go on a trek to find the Eternal Warrior. I feel like a lot happened. And while all that was happening, we had, Spylock and them up on...
Because he started dropping sectors while
It didn't feel like it was years he was there.
Yeah. And she seemed really odd... How she was talking to
him. She just got the positive.
Well, because she stuck the weapon into Father, or whatever that puddle lake was that,
The
nano, whatever, nanites, or whatever it was.
The live wire.
Yeah, live wire. She stuck that into there, and he's just like, he's like, you have no idea what you've done, or something, because he knew that he was going to have to start dropping sections. And then that's what he did. He started dropping certain sections then.
Mm-hmm.
And then... She knew he was doing that, and then Rye saw it happening while he was on Earth. Yeah. So that must have been happening for, I don't know how long that was happening, how long he was on Earth till he got back. Because it seemed like she built up this whole relationship with that positron. But it seemed like she just got it.
That wasn't a flashback when she got the positron?
It's a possibility, but it didn't really show that. I'll go back and check and see.
I think she's been with this positron for a few years.
It's possible. She was talking about it, too. She was talking about it at the beginning of the book. She was just like, I haven't got a positron. I'm getting it for my birthday or something. Because they get it for their, 13th birthday or something. Yeah. And then later on, she got it. So I assume that was just in that time.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to have to go back and check
a time jump at
something,
some point.
Something was weird in that. But I just went along with it. I mean, it's a small little thing to it.
Yeah.
It just seemed odd when she was just like, we had all these plans and stuff. And, it's just like, well, when did you plan this? When all of death was happening all around you? Like, you were like, I'm going to go to college in this sector that just fell off of, into space. Yeah. But, yeah.
And Ryan and his crew get on to New Japan. Yeah. His Hodor.
Yeah.
But then they realized it was a bit too easy getting there, and Father kind of led them into a bit of a trap.
Yeah.
The art in this book has been incredible. He's Clayton Crane's painted art.
His guy is
Lemur.
That's it, Lemur. He's just like, I don't like those cats or whatever they are.
Yeah.
They're eating like the exosuit. And you look at them, and they look like smaller versions of
the dragon.
The big dragon, yeah. But they do from far away. They look like little cats all over the thing.
It's Ravage.
Yes, that's what it is. It was a Ravage.
It was really good. I'm looking forward to reading the Bloodshot
tie-in
today.
What's cool about these, I don't want to, go crazy, just talking about Valiant, but it's just really nice that you get, four issues, and in four issues, you get a lot of story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's an event. It becomes a big event. And that's all they need. And then you have the little... I think it's just very well organized.
Well, let's
you have
look
that,
at it.
And then you have your time.
We have this
end,
event
which give you a little
on,
bit extra.
The 4,180 AD event. Number of issues that have something to do with this event or give information about the event, 12 issues.
Yeah.
How many of those do you have to read for?
Yeah.
Just the
you don't
four
have
books.
To read the tie-ins. They're just
the
fun
Rye
to read
issues it. Just give backstories to the origin of Rye.
Yeah.
And the one-shots just show different elements in that world, and you get some back info on it, but you don't have to read them at all.
No, it's kind of neat, because,
And you don't lose anything at all. You could read the main event and not be missing out at all
by
not reading
The Exo Man of War one was okay, it added on just a little bit to, well, where'd this suit come from? And that's basically the question it answered. It wasn't too big. But, like, as you were telling me about Book of Death, when I read that one, and it was the, which one was it?
Ninjak?
Was it the Ninja? The Spylocks. Yeah, it was the Ninjak one, yeah. And that did add something to the main story. It had nothing to do with, really to do with Book of Death. I mean, kind of in a way, because I think he died in that, didn't he?
Yeah, those times were just showing, like, the demise.
But it was kind of neat, they gave you a little bit of insight into a little bit of what happens in Rye. And it's just like, that's kind of fun, you know? Mm-hmm. So if you're invested into the story and you really like it, read the tie-ins, because they give you something more.
Yeah.
But if you're just wanting to read the event, that's all you got to do. It's, those four
it's
issues,
refreshing.
And you get a lot out of it. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah.
All right, that's it for my books. David?
Start with Rough Riders, number 3.
I read that.
And really enjoyed this a lot. This is just a fun book, my goodness.
It really is.
I was picking them up because you brought it up before. And today, since I had 3, I was wanting to talk about it. So I just caught up on all 3 issues. Mm-hmm. And it's good. Like, it's just a very... It's kind of neat. And the characters are being used in really fun ways. Like, especially, like, Thomas Edison. And then... You know, Thomas Edison being kind of the he's like, oh, I don't want to be here.
He's
you know, he doesn't know what to do. Yeah,
yeah.
But
he is.
But right. In this, I think it was this issue when they're walking up. You know, they just got off the boat. And he's just like, I'm not sure if I can trust him or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, what's up with this guy? Because he seems like the guy they're just bringing along for comic relief.
Yeah.
But there's something to it.
Yeah. This issue, they arrive in Cuba where this ship has sunk, USS Maine, and they're investigating what went on there.
Yeah.
So they kind of split up and...
Was this the issue, this third issue, was it the one when they showed the picture of what was... Because they didn't show the picture for a while that the Andrew Carnegie and J.P. Morgan gave him to show him what was going on. Was this the one when they showed the photo of what happened to the boat?
I don't remember seeing that.
But
yeah, they finally, like, he wasn't showing any of them, any of his group, Roosevelt wasn't showing any of his group the picture of what happened, and they're just like, oh, is it a laser beam or something?
Yeah, he went and met with, I forget who the hell he met with.
It was J.P. Morgan, Andrew Carnegie.
No, he met with somebody while he was
like the admiral in charge.
Whoever was in charge of the army. But he did show the photo to his group. To give them an idea, and they were like, oh, it's some sort of, like, a laser, and then Houdini's like, it's trick photography or something like that.
Yeah, they talked to some of the sailors who survived, and they figured out this was some kind of weird weapon that caused their injuries, so they're thinking it might be a laser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, but yeah, it's this issue had a lot of weird... stuff in it. Like, now you're starting to question a little more than, you know, what's going on. And, you know, when Oakley meets up with that guy and she's trying to get information out of him, and he has, like, some sort of, like, Wrath of Khan, like, alien slug, like, coming out of his ear.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he kind of looks at her, and then a lot happens at the end that I don't want to tell a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah.
What happened.
Ending.
Yeah,
but it was a good ending.
The end villain is... That was pretty good.
That was a surprise, yeah.
And I wasn't expecting him. But
It really is. It's like the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, but
with actual people.
Yeah.
Here's something maybe you guys could... Because in the second issue, I believe, he throws the guy off the boat.
Yeah, that was Eastman.
Why?
He can't trust him because when they were fighting...
Yeah. Because he didn't help Edison?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought that's what it was, but it just seemed odd
that was
at the
first
time.
Issue.
Because nobody
was
really helping
second,
Edison.
Okay.
He was just vocal about it, you know?
Okay.
Until I forget his name now.
Jack Johnson. Yeah.
He did help him out in the long run, but it just seemed a little odd it's a fun book. It's just, you know, interesting use of characters, very much like the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah, the characters are all have different personalities, and there's so many ways this can go. And
yeah,
I just love the conflicts between the characters when you can match them up and like they did in this issue.
I like how they were all ready to fight, and they, like, Houdini actually throws, like,
there was playing cards,
and it's just like, wow, I wasn't expecting this.
He's Gambit.
And they work, too. Like, it's right in the guy's eye. And, it's fun. It was. It was a fun book.
New number one from Aftershock, the Revisionist.
I saw that advertised in that book.
Took it home.
This was good. This was good. I like this first issue. This is kind of a mix up of Back to the Future, Prison Break, and Time Cop. A little bit, but
quite a mix.
Yeah, I was just gonna say.
But it's the protagonist's name is Martin Monroe. Of course, his name's Marty, and he's a prisoner, and he's in this. And you don't know what he's in there
Does
for.
Does he have a giant tattoo of the prisoner on his back?
He doesn't have any tattoos, no, but he's kind of ratting on the other prisoners of what they're doing to the warden and the people in charge. And he gets this wristband in the mail, and he puts it on, and it's kind of like a hologram comes up of his father. And he tells, you know, Martin, tomorrow you're going to die. You got to get out of here. And so he gets freaked out, so he takes it off. And then the next day, there's kind of a riot, and all the prisoners are after him, you know, for
because he's a rat.
Because he's a rat. Pretty much. So he doesn't know what to do, so he grabs... He grabs the wristband, puts it on, and his dad, you know, is helping him escape the prison. And the thing, and his dad is a revisionist who they talk about. There is, he tells him, you know, reality has been all a lie. And there's these characters called revisionists and there's this war in the timeline, and the revisionists are fighting, and it's causing these fractures in the timeline, and he has to, you know, help. It starts off, you know, with him, there's like a flash forward of him as a revisionist on a mission, and then it shows his backstory in the prison. I thought it's very interesting, and I want to see where it goes, so I'm hooked on this one. And the last one, I read the 6th issue of Paper Girls.
How was it?
It was good. I liked it. You could actually kind of know what was going on in this one.
Okay.
For the most part. Because in the end of that 5th issue, the girls, or 3 of them, traveled to the future. And that's where it starts. They're in June 2016. And they meet Aaron's older self.
That's where we're at, Dave.
That's where we were at.
That's our time.
I know, isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
I know, I had to put the book down for a second.
And take it all in.
Get my notes. Because they went from 1988 to 2016. And they meet Aaron's older self. And they have to convince her that that's who they are. But the thing is, future Aaron, doesn't remember any of this. She doesn't remember getting shot.
Mm-hmm.
So they all go to her apartment and start to try to figure things out because they're looking for KJ, the other girl.
Yeah.
And you know, of course, there's the fish out of water stuff. They don't. They're all the car. She has a smart car, so they all have to cram into the smart car, and they're complaining about that. And they call the television a giant rectangle because it's the flat screen, and they don't understand Twitter and Vine language.
They need to get with the program.
Yeah,
I don't get it.
Yeah, but then there's some craziness too with those with that hippie character, mm-hmm. that guy with the long beard. He looks like Father Time or something. That hippie dude, and
whenever you add hippies into the mix, it does get confusing.
But I thought it was pretty good. I liked it. And,
that's what he just talked about.
He hates hippies.
Yeah.
I'm not. As Mr. Burns said, you know, get a haircut, you hippie. To Wade Boggs.
Yeah.
On that baseball episode.
No, it was Don Mattingly.
Was it Don Mattingly?
It was Don Mattingly. Was it? Okay. And then he said, get rid of those sideburns. And he shaves all the way around.
Oh, okay. What's
he throws him off the team. He says, I still like him better than Steinbrenner.
You're waiting for the trades on. Are you still reading this, Josh?
I might get the trades. I was buying it for a friend of mine.
Okay.
And I would read them since I was buying it for him, his wife. I was. But then they decided after the first arc that they were going to get the trades.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if I'm buying the trades for them when they come out, or if they're just buying the trades or what. But I may jump on with the trades. We'll see.
Okay.
I still have a ton of trades at home I have to get through. Right. But yet I still buy more. So
it was a pretty good issue. I liked how it picked up here. It's interesting.
Like, I liked it. I didn't love it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not one that I'm dying to, you know, see. Like, Colin texted me the other day because I had unsubscribed from a book that I was getting monthly, Monstrous. And the reason why I'm unsubscribed is because I love the book. The book's been fantastic, but it, month to month, I feel like I was getting lost a little bit. I feel like I would enjoy it a lot more reading the whole arc in one, one or two sittings. So after this first arc, I thought it was a good time to, you know, get the trades. So that's why I jumped off. That one, I'm really looking forward to see what happens next. It'd be like trying to read, I feel like, Sandman month to month right now. I don't think I would be able to do that successfully without getting lost. But yeah, Paper Girls, at some point I'll probably read it, but I'm not in a hurry.
Okay.
That's all. No, like Southern Bastards, where I can't wait for the third trade to come out.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Huh? When's it coming out?
Yes. Top of my head? Come on.
Come on, man.
Stop. I know.
Okay. Solidarity.
So the first one is Punisher. Continues on with the face guy.
Yeah.
So he, you know, he shows up at a drug deal and starts killing people, and Face decides to take some of this drug and, you know, go off and you know, fight the Punisher that way. He eventually escapes, but what the Punisher finds out is who the cook is for this drug. And so that's where he's going to go next. And, you know, we see the cook talking on the phone and knowing that the Punisher's on his way. And he makes his little daughter, who's like 9 years old, put on a suicide vest.
Nice.
Yeah, so real good guy. This had some of the problem that the other Punisher book did. In the first two pages of it, they drew Frank to look like he was black. And
he isn't.
No, well, he was for a time in the 90s.
He was.
It crossed over with Luke Cage's book, and he was black for like 3 issues. It was really weird. But
his undercover brother.
Yeah. Solid. I love that movie. It's a Punisher book. It's okay. I just, you know, the whole thing with getting a little kid to wear a suicide vest, I thought might have been a little bit pushing it, but, you know, that is what it is.
But, you know, the book is going to take, like, a dark turn like that. I mean,
yeah,
it's going to get dark. I mean, it's a Punisher book. And this guy, this villain, you can tell he's a villain now.
Oh, well,
he's pretty ruthless, so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, but it's one of them things where, you know, now Punisher's going to go in and he's going to kill all those people. And, you know, he's going to
Up some wounds that he sacrifices a child for, you know.
Or maybe he doesn't, but then he has to figure out what he's going to do with this kid now.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
So, there's a couple different ways I can take it. The next one I got was Strange Attractors. This was a Charles Soule book that it's getting reprinted, I guess, from Boom. It's really, it's kind of a difficult thing to describe. So, it's essentially chaos theory, but it's not. It's, you know, essentially, whenever something bad happens in New York, it gets it returns to equilibrium. And this guy is mapping this. Like, using mathematics, he's mapping where bad things would happen and how, I guess, they're resolved. It's a five-part miniseries, and you know, this was just the first part, and it's interesting, the whole concept is, but it's a really difficult book to try to describe. Not bad, just difficult to describe. But it's Charles Soule, and I like his writing, so I'll continue with it. And the last one I wanted to talk about was Deadpool. So Deadpool 13 was actually, it was a $9 or a $10 book. But you got $10 worth of story in it. What it really was four issues. It was Deadpool 13, Deadpool 13.1, Power Man and Iron Fist. It was a .1 issue of that, and a .1 issue of Daredevil. And what you got was like a four-issue crossover story arc self-contained in this one issue, where a guy hired Deadpool to protect him because he was like a financial accountant for the mob, and they were going to kill him, so he turned them all in. And then he had lost his laptop. He gave it to Deadpool for safekeeping, and Deadpool threw it away, and they had to go find it because it had all the information, so they could go to Matt Murdock, who is a prosecutor, and he'll be the one giving this guy immunity and all this other stuff. Like I said, I enjoyed it. It actually read a lot like some of the old Daniel Way Deadpool stuff. It was fun. The stuff with Daredevil was good, even though I'm not reading Daredevil. And the stuff with Iron Fist was fun. I still don't like the art style they use on that. And it was just the art in the book transitioned between the four issues to how it appears in their own books. So it was a little bit distracting just because I'm not a fan of that style, but the story itself was good. So, $10 book, it wasn't cheap, but it was worth it. That's the first time I've said something Deadpool's been worth it in a long time. So that was good.
You think it's going to be better next issue? They're going to keep it going?
This was a self-contained story, so I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
The last few issues were him fighting Sabretooth, and it wasn't good.
I didn't even understand that part. I saw the covers, because the covers were really weird. Like
Deadpool thought that Sabretooth killed his parents, and then so he wanted to get revenge, and what he was going to use, a Terrigen Mist to kill him. And then he realized that Sabretooth didn't do it, he did it, but his memories had been so messed up he couldn't remember, and then he finally did, and basically said, well, I'm gonna forget this in a few days, and then I'm gonna go after you again. It is what it is. That's what I got.
Amazing Spider-Man number 13.
Spider-Man.
This is continuing the Regent story. It's not bad. The biggest problem with this book is this Iron Man Spider-Man feud that's going on. It has a lot to do with MJ, but in another way, it's because Iron Man's just kind of Iron Man's a
jerk.
A D.
Yeah. And
everyone's a D, Pat.
Yeah.
Or a B or C.
And
or Dave, CP. Dave's a...
What's that spell?
Colin may actually punch me if I say it again.
Good. It's
getting rough.
Settle down, kid.
I didn't say it. What is taking hold, though?
What didn't you say?
It is not taking hold. It's my anger.
K- tip smash.
I think you secretly like it. You just don't want to admit
it. I do not. It makes no sense.
It makes perfect sense.
It does not make any sense.
Why? CP. What, how does the beginning of Colin sound?
Stop.
Kuh. How does the beginning of Kip sound? Kuh.
A C can't make that sound.
You may not like it, but don't tell me it doesn't make sense. Spitterman?
You can drop the mic in there, Mike. So, yeah, him and Iron Man are having this weird feud because, I mean, Peter's jealous of him. Iron Man doesn't know he's Peter, though, but he keeps making fun of, like, oh, like, in this issue, they meet up with Miles, and Miles is, Peter's going to meet up with Miles, but Iron Man met up with him as well because he's an Avenger with him or whatever, I don't know. But they're talking, and Miles says something to the fact that he helped him with his web shooters, and Peter's like, what do you mean he helped you? I'm the one who made the web shooters. And he's just like, Iron Man's like, yeah, but I kind of fixed some of the flaws that Peter had in some of these. So it just keeps grating on him and grating on him that they actually get into a fight. And they're fighting all over the place, breaking things. Miles is like trying to get people out of the way, like, you know, trying to help and be responsible. And in one case, it was kind of funny, though. They're just like, what? He had a line in there. They're like, what are they doing? And they're like, they're fighting. And he's like, well, that's kind of what they do these days or something like that, which I was like, yeah. Because everybody's fighting, and whether it's the movies or Civil War going on right now. But in all of this, Regent sees it on the news, and he goes out and collects Miles, and he kidnaps him. And this is like his second part of the plan. First it was villains, now it's certain heroes. So he's taking them, and he was able to get spider powers from him. So him and Iron Man, Peter and Iron Man finally figure out, well, maybe we screwed up here fighting, and we have to go save Miles, because if we weren't doing this, he wouldn't have been captured. And they don't really know where he went exactly. But it's fun. Like, I kind of like this Regent guy, because he seems like he could become really powerful of a villain like he did in the Secret Wars book, that he could get to that level if he keeps collecting heroes and using their powers. Basically, he hooks them into a computer. In this, he kept them alive, but in that, they were dead. Like, in Secret Wars, they did die. He's able to put them into something, and then he's able to feed off of their powers and put them into his suit, and then he can use all those. So, after collecting all of these powers, he can become very strong. What's interesting about this character, this Regent, which is the same guy, it's this Augustus Roman, what's interesting about him is that he had somebody die in some sort of fight, like some battle that was happening. And it was his wife, I think. And then that's why he's wanting to make this prison and save people. But he's letting that get in the way of, you know, he doesn't know where to stop. Like, now he's taking heroes, and he is actually becoming the villain. He just doesn't recognize himself as the villain. Kind of like a Magneto, in a way. It's not bad. This story, and I did, that was the only Secret War tie-in that I liked, was that, it was the one, Renew Your Vows. Like, I actually did like that one a lot. Just had an interesting story, and it didn't necessarily have to tie in to Secret Wars. It was just an interesting future Spider-Man story where he had a daughter and he was able to, you know, where all this stuff was happening, you know, sure. People were being collected, and he had to actually stop for a while of being a hero. And then he had to come back and defeat the villain because of his daughter. And it was a good book, but I like that he brought him into this. I want to see where this book goes. So this has actually picked up for me a little bit, and I've been enjoying it a lot. So that was Amazing Spider-Man number 13. The other one I read was Walking Dead, 155. Did anybody read that?
I read that.
It was okay. I mean,
I just thought it was okay.
Yeah, nothing huge happens in it. Stuff with Negan was interesting.
Negan and Alpha, I just think their interaction, and Negan and the Whisperers in general, I think their interaction is just so funny, because he's so
Negan.
I mean, there's really no other way to say it, but he's being Negan, and you can tell he's getting on their nerves.
Yeah,
and
he's grating a little bit. She seems almost Alpha seems almost curious about him though, not so much annoyed as Beta is. Beta just doesn't like him at all.
Yeah.
She seems like she has, there's something to this. So really, I can't predict what's going to happen between these two characters. Like, I don't see anything right now of, yeah, it's a possibility. I mean, that's the thing. It could go in that direction. Where,
well, you know, they or, act like animals anyway, so that's,
yeah.
Yeah.
It could go into him taking over this group. It could, he, you know.
I don't see Negan taking over the Whisperer.
I don't see him leading him that way. I really don't know. Maybe he's trying to do his own thing by, trying to take him down. Maybe he has his own plan that Rick doesn't. Maybe that's his way of showing people that he can lead them over them. I don't know. Like, it's very, I've kind of liked, Walking Dead has kind of made, it's picked up for me because I think a lot, I mean, some issues don't move as yeah. quickly as they should. But these characters are kind of interesting because they're almost like, when we originally were talking about Walking Dead when it was first coming out, we picked up on Carl as Carl being this
Carl?
Character
yeah, take properly,
that was able to, like, he is living in this world. Like, he's a character that this is
well,
all
he
he's going to really
in the
know.
World, yeah.
yeah. And these characters, these Whisperers have kind of accepted the world as it is. And I just find them kind of interesting because they're not, if you remember Negan and, you know, the stuff with Negan and him running his place, and then you have the governor who was leading his place, it was kind of the same in a way. One was a little darker, like, I think Negan's world was a little more old times, like, it wasn't quite, you know, nobody had a house, nobody was living, like, a normal life,
well,
but
no,
they were living under Negan's rules.
But that was just it. Negan had rules. Negan was a fair guy as
yeah.
long as you followed his rules.
I think it's interesting because it's almost like every villain we meet, it's gradually going down, it's de-evolving. Like, they're becoming worse and worse as the villain comes out.
I can kind of see that, although, you know, with the governor...
Yeah.
You know, it's been so long since I've read that arc, I may be confusing some of that with what they did with the TV show, too.
Okay.
But,
I mean, he was a nasty guy.
No, he was a nasty guy, but you never quite knew what he was going to do next.
Yeah.
Whereas I think with Negan, he's harsh, he's
yeah.
brutal.
Negan also didn't have any attachments, which the governor... and Alpha do, and that with the governor, both of them were their children,
yeah,
daughters.
Although with you know, Penny was dead, but
yeah,
you know,
but he still, but
he
yeah, he was crazy. He thought she was still gonna be all right.
Yeah,
but with Alpha, she still seems to have you can see a little bit of humanity still in her, even though she doesn't act.
Well, no, she cried when
yeah.
when what was it, Lydia?
Yeah.
left.
Beta, you know, is a monster. Like,
yeah.
that's basically what he is. He's gone. But Alpha, and the only way really they can lead it is because they have that. But Negan doesn't have any attachments. Like, he doesn't. And we're learning that in this image preview that keeps coming out. But that, you know, there's
some reason. I'm
thinking
Lucille's his wife's name.
That would be interesting. That would be a good. I never thought of that. That's interesting.
Either that or it's the other chick. But I'm thinking that's his wife.
Yeah, well, that's the other kid, yeah. Oh, that whole thing. We never really talked about that at all because they're so short of
yeah.
of things. But it's neat to see a little bit of his origin. I don't like the them putting it in the preview because as a collector, like, I don't know what to do with these books now.
I don't so much mind that. What bothered me was like this last issue. It's four pages, and I thought three of them were filler.
Yeah, they were.
And
yeah.
you know, you're on issue 2 of 12,
mm-hmm.
and 3/4 of it's filler already. That's
yeah.
a problem.
Yeah. And the ending was the only like, oh, well, that's kind of a little bit shocking.
Yeah.
Because you kind of see this guy, you know, yeah, he, you know, has a mouth on him and everything like that, but you didn't see him as like horrible like until that book. Like you saw that he, you know, his wife had she has cancer.
Yeah.
And
I still don't see him as horrible.
Well, it depends on where they go in this direction after this scene. Like,
no,
he seems horrible in that scene.
No, I mean, even, you know, with everything we've seen him done in the book, I don't see him as a horrible person.
Even that he, like, has an affair with somebody and as his wife's dying with cancer. Like, I see, what's the politician?
Newt Gingrich. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but I'm not...
Gingrich is a horrible person.
Well, but that's... I'm not saying he's a good person, but...
You mean Vice President Newt Gingrich? Sorry.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's a horrible person. Like, yeah, okay, that's kind of messed up. Your wife has cancer and you're screwing around on her.
Not... You're saying it's not horrible, like, horrible Negan horrible.
Yeah.
Okay, right. I get you. It is still bad, it, but...
even there, but even, like, when you get to Negan horrible...
Yeah.
To me, it isn't.
Okay. It's not that level.
Living in that world, yeah. I don't see what he did as being... I mean, yeah, if judging it from our perspective, it's like, man, that's kind of messed up. But living that world where death is there all the time anyway,
yeah,
it probably didn't mean much.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, but they're okay. It's okay. You know, none of those were really great, those little origin stories. And, like, the governor one they had, and then they had the Tyrese one, and...
The Michonne one.
The Michonne one.
The one thing I didn't like about this issue, though, was the interaction between Rick and Andrea.
Yeah.
She was, like, on his ass.
Yeah, she was not happy about that whole situation. Yeah. She's like, you're worse than him. It's just like, I get why he's doing what he's doing. He almost had a big situation on his hands. It turned into another situation, but it doesn't seem as big of a situation.
No, she doesn't want him using propaganda. Well, yeah. That's how, you know, how you get people riled up for war.
Now, in her defense, he was trying to create a new world outside of what they lived in before.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, whatever. Yeah, she was a little tough on him, especially since he was the guy getting beat on, like, how often, you know, so because of this. So, but yeah, it was an okay issue, but I like this story arc better than All Out War. Like, I like this one. Yeah. It's been interesting. And the Carl stuff is getting a little out of hand. That character, I've lost complete interest in that character because I feel like he is going to die at some point because he's stupid. He's just not a very bright person now. But, yeah, I mean, now he's a teenager, so I guess that has...
Yeah, well, that's...
that has to do with it.
And he's got his girl now, so he's not thinking with the right head.
Yeah. When he was a kid in the books, he just seemed interesting because he was what you needed to be in that world to survive. Now I'm not sure what he's
Negan's doing. Line on him was great. I can't touch him because I can't wait to see what kind of little psychopath he becomes.
Yeah,
you know, that's...
Yeah. Oh, well. But, and then the last one I read was Old Man Logan, number 7. This was the end, I believe it was the end of this story arc. He's dealing with the last few issues. He's been dealing with Deathstrike coming to this town. Logan was looking for his wife when she was a little girl, because that's at this time she would be. His plan is to protect her because he was supposed to protect her. That was it's the thing about Logan in this. He doesn't really know what to do because he's lived in a world where everything is kind of, you know, well, it's the apocalypse. Then he lost his entire family. Then he didn't know, you know, he was holding back being Logan for so long because he knew what it did. That it, when he, or Wolverine, when he becomes Wolverine, bad things happen. And so he was trying to hold off on that. That was the point of Old Man Logan in that. But in this, he wanted to get revenge and he unleashed. When he comes to this world, and then he starts to figure out it's not the world that he's from, and time's not going to become that, he still is trying to fix it the way he thinks, you know, he has to protect this girl, because that's what his job was when he was married to her in the future. So he still has to do something. And in this, he figures out that because he went to this town to do this, he learns that he put them in danger. And that he can't be around anybody. So he's kind of going downhill in a way because he just doesn't know what to do. So I feel like in the next issue he's going to become a hermit, like that he's going to just live in the woods somewhere because everybody is
Tatooine and
yes,
watch Luke grow up.
He's going to watch and train him later to be a Jedi. But it's been a good book. Like, still, it's hard to explain it because there is a lot going on with, you know, time travel and. Then he's going to do this. Then the X-Men show up. And there's just a lot happening. But It's good. It's not as good as Old Man Logan was. That was a really good book. But it's an interesting addition to it that he's, you know, been brought back, but he, you know, he wants to make sure that the world doesn't become what it does. Even though it's not the world he was from, he still wants to
prevent the world
to become that. He also doesn't want stuff happening to these people that happened in his world. He doesn't want to be with the X-Men because he feels like, well, stuff's going to happen. Because originally in Old Man Logan, I think it was Fishbowl Head. What was his name?
Mysterio.
Mysterio made him believe that he was being attacked by all these villains. And then it turned out he wasn't. It was the X-Men. So he kills all the X-Men, and that's what leads him down his path. He doesn't want that to happen. So he feels like if he joins these X-Men, he's going to do the exact same thing. And he doesn't want to, you know. So it's, I want to see where this goes. That's really what I want to see out of this book. So, but that's it. It's all the books.
That's it?
That's all we read.
That's everybody. Okay.
What comes out next week there,
Colin? Next week. Hang on. I was next unprepared. Okay.
It's not new.
Next week we have A&A number 4.
Yay.
We have Amazing Spider-Man 14. Back to the Future Citizen Brown number 2.
Spider-Man book.
I know. Coming fast and furious. Batman number 1. Batman awesome. Earth 1 volume 2 paperback. Black Eyed Kids number 3. Black Widow number 4, which is doing very well. Civil War 2. Civil War X-Men number 1. Dark Knight Returns, The Last Crusade.
That's exciting.
That's
yeah.
the...
When,
yeah, that's the prequel.
Okay, yeah.
It came out February.
Yeah, it was supposed to. Dark Knight, True Batman Story, hardcover. That's coming out. That's the Paul Dini story about getting attacked. That was really good. I got a galley from at Comics Pro. Got some DC Icons figures. We have Aquaman, the Atomica Deluxe, Harley Quinn, and Superman. DC Universe Rebirth number 1, second print. I didn't realize I was getting these. I just kind of threw in an order just for the heck of it. So those are coming next week. Now, they're $6, but they're also square bound. So those are a little more permanent type. Deadpool number 14, tying into Civil War 2. Fight Club 2 hardcover is coming out. Flash the Silver Age volume 1. The nice big paperbacks they're doing. Green Arrow number 1 and Green Lanterns number 1. I Hate Fairyland number 6 after a little break. International Iron Man number 4. The Joiners number 1, which is a new one from Boom. And Joyride number 3, also from Boom. Jughead number 7. Justice League 51. Klaus number 6.
Yeah.
Neil Gaiman's How to Talk to Girls at Parties. That's a new Neil Gaiman one. I think it's by Fabio Moon and Gabriel Ba are doing the art on that.
That's got to be weird.
Yeah.
Neil Gaiman teaching you how to talk to women.
There you go. Nova number 8 is also tying into Civil War 2. Punisher Second Prince, in case you missed it. I have more coming. Scooby Apocalypse number 2 is coming.
That's quick.
Star Wars.
That's a quick book.
20.
Having our Future Quest.
Not yet.
That came out before Scooby.
Yeah. Scooby came out like a few weeks ago.
Yeah. It was like Future Quest and Scooby, and then now
Wagon. No, you're right. I know. I'm sorry. Scooby's coming.
What are we going to do, Colin?
I don't know. Star Wars number 20 and Han Solo number 1 are shipping next week.
Did she shoot first?
Superman number 1. Tales from the Dark Side number 1. This is by Joe Hill and Gabriel Rodriguez, who did Lock and Key. This is a new one from them.
Has nothing to do with Star Wars.
No.
What's that one?
Tales from the Dark Side.
I thought that got changed. I didn't think it was actually coming out. No. Yeah, I'm surprised. I thought I read some recently. I believe you. I'm just saying I thought I read some recent wasn't coming out now. Okay. I'm going to break that finger off.
Oh, are you? Titans Rebirth number 1. Vote Loki number 1. Weird Detective number 1.
That book.
Weird Detective neat. It's Fred Van Lente, and it's basically weird, really weird stuff is coming, happening. These monsters are coming, and they're trying to bring the old gods. And what do you need to stop a monster? A monster. So, Weird Detective.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Wrath of the Eternal Warrior number 8.
I can do it.
And then Year of Marvel's Incredible number 1.
Oh.
Yes.
Wow.
So, yes. So, as always, you can find me at the store. It's been, this was a fun day. That's okay. I just kind of went on. Yeah. Just so much talking today. Just so many people wanted to talk about the Rebirth books from last week and stuff. It just, it was neat. Just a whole lot of talking going on.
Rebirth.
You hate talking to customers.
No, I don't. But it was nice having Tim on the register because that's basically all I did. Which is good. It certainly is a big part of the job. What?
Remember he said that.
What'd you say?
No, remember, next time you get in trouble for it, he just said it's part of the job now.
Oh.
Talking to customers.
No, well, for Tim, it's part of the job.
For me, it's part of the job. Adam, you know, 2 hours talking to somebody. You know.
2 hours?
Remember that time that Zelda did?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. When I'm running around in my dress, I have a really fun time.
Hey, how many of those Zelda books have you sold? Those hardcover?
A lot.
Yeah.
Well, it was also a really big book, too. A big seller nationally. So, but you can find me at the website's pittsburghcomics.com, Facebook under Pittsburgh Comics, and Instagram and Twitter under @PGHComics.
I think that's it.
I think that's it, yeah. I kind of ran out of steam there.
That's
it was going well.
That's a podcast.
We'll talk to you next week. We'll talk about 5 new Rebirth books and whatever else we got. So, we'll see you. Bye. Hey, everybody, welcome to Kit.
Pittsburgh Comics Podcast, you mean?
Suicide Squad, say!
Continue. Pittsburgh Comics Podcast.
He's giving it up for a buffer.
Yeah.
He's trying to get a buffer.